welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, let's see what we got going today. Billy West coming in studio.
The inventor of my wife's new favorite bit.
Cancer Danny.
Cancer Danny.
he'll be in. Sean Wayne's coming in. Frank Shamrock, international fight league guy, the mixed martial arts master Frank Shamrock in here. I saw his last fight, so I got he was disqualified in a very controversial maneuver last time he fought about 3-4 weeks ago. So
I think any such animal as a disqualification shy of biting and eye gouging is controversial. It's mixed martial arts. It's to maul a guy. It's the closest thing to a real fight ever.
Well, that's really what the whole thing is about, the mixed martial arts movement. It's who would really win in a fight.
In a real fight.
And then when you get disqualified, it's not like you grabbed a pool cue and hit the guy with it, which you might do in a real fight anyway.
I'm 5'6", dude. I do bad things.
Have you done the thing where you break the bottle and then use it as a weapon?
I'm a loudmouth drunk, and I'm short, and I say stupid things to large people. I've done very, very bad things.
You know, they ought to throw in the UFC. You know, they go in the octagon. Like, the whole thing, if you think about the UFC, the allure is who would really win, you know? Because there's there's always that thing where, oh, Muhammad Ali, yeah, but Bruce Lee would beat him up in the street or whatever. People have always been, you know, this guy's a 300-pound football player. He would beat the crap out of Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, because Sugar Ray would punch him, but he would just tackle him, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So we come up with the UFC to decide how it would go down in the street.
Which is kind of the answer,
Which is fine. But a couple of modifications. First off, they both should have a sloppy, drunk girlfriend from New Jersey screaming.
And what's she screaming?
Wow, would you like me to look her up? I know her.
Is she screaming like, you know, Robin, stop
well,
it?
Well, she or? Starts. Now, here's the twist.
No, right.
She starts by yelling at the guy.
Right.
The other guy's beating up, but eventually turns on her guy.
True that, peeps.
Had enough of this.
Right.
You know, nails flying, big press on nails, hair everywhere. Oh. She doesn't really get involved. She's just skirting around the action screaming. Maybe somebody spills some drinks.
Right.
Don't forget, she probably started
she
it.
She starts it.
You gotta remember that I used to be a drunk scrapper, and I didn't want to be 100 times. I didn't want to be. I wasn't always drunk, but I'd be with some girl who would point out the guy that did whatever he did, and she's offended,
right.
And now I'm either not gonna get laid or say something to the huge guy. Chicks always start fights.
Yeah, chicks starting the fights.
Yeah, always.
Things falling over. Maybe a pool cue. We should pump in some bad jukebox music. And these guys shouldn't be wearing, you know, fight shorts. They should be wearing...
Jeans.
Yeah,
jeans.
Something bedazzled. Maybe a cow. There should be like a cowboy boot in there. You know,
I'm in the most manly outfit.
That is manly.
That would be a good fight outfit. As a matter of fact, one of the guys could be dressed like he just got off work or something, UPS shorts and a shirt. You know, just add a flair of realism to the whole thing.
Maybe instead of a bell ringing and the guy saying, "Let's get it on,"
you
flip a coin for the guy that gets to walk to the other guy and go, "You're an ass." And then it goes.
Now, should each of the fighters have had 2 to 5 drinks?
Yeah, they'll do a couple of shots of Jaeger, and the rounds will end not with a bell, but with a bar back firing a shotgun over his head.
Okay, Corolla, I am in financially. I will back this game. I'm yelling,
"I said get," as he fires up in the air.
And the ring girls, is that what they're called? Instead of showing what round it is, they yell at their fighter to either, "Let's go home, come on, let's go home, let's get out of here."
And they don't have cards, they just hold up fingers to show it's round 3.
Right. Or they yell at their fighter, "That guy spilled his beer on me."
Yeah, they
spilled
start
it right on
they
me.
Start the argument,
he's looking
right?
At me.
Right? And the fight ends. If it goes the distance, cops rush in. That's what stops it.
That's the only fair thing. Because guys will, surprisingly, because believe it or not, I really don't like violence. I like boxing as a science. I think it's great. And these mixed martial arts guys I admire because these are truly dangerous men. They really are. What I hate is 2 guys fighting and it's getting ugly. And there's a crowd around and nobody stops it.
Yeah.
And there's just people they're permanently injuring each other.
Yeah.
Well, we would also have to have one of these guys. Each guy's going to have a drunken buddy.
Right.
That guy. His job's to throw a little fuel on the fire when things slow down a little bit.
Right, keep it going.
Dump a beer on somebody.
So, dude, he called you a pussy.
Wait a second. At UBF, ultimate bar fight.
UBF, the ultimate bar fight.
In UBF League, will there be a bouncer?
Yeah, there'll be a huge black guy's wearing a windbreaker, but he's not doing anything.
He just stands there.
Yeah, let Whitey kill each other. That's his thing. He's basically trying to control the other people. We'll put peanut shells and sawdust down on the ground.
Okay.
Yes.
It'll be pretty straightforward. Now, look, there's going to be rules. You know, the beer bottles will be made of the spun glass. And,
You could do it by rote or by habit because you're a punk and you swing with bottles.
I'm just saying.
They break away. They don't do real damage.
The stuff that's hanging around on the set, as it were, in the octagon, no one's actually going, you know, there's no real swords or bottles or anything.
Right.
It's pretty good. Somebody get his head pushed through a jukebox, but it won't be one of the main players. That's just a little ancillary side thing.
Does it shoot sparks?
Sparks will come flying out. Yeah, we'll call it the double deuce. It's going to be awesome. You know what? I've said too much. Someone's going to take this idea and run with it.
Too good.
Ultimate bar fight. Yeah.
I would just like to point out, as much as I admire Mr. Carolla, I've only worked with him under 3 months. I'll help you steal this. If you take his idea, I've got some money I'm in. The guys would have just let go. I'm loyal on everything, but 3 months.
It's too good an idea. The guys will enter the ring by walking out a bathroom door.
Yes.
There's none of the big entrances anymore.
Right.
Just says boys' room, and all of a sudden the door flies open. He comes up, he's zipping his fly up, and then notices.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. In the UBF, I feel like grapplers won't have the same advantage that they do in the UFC.
Why is that?
Well, in one way they will, because there'll be cowboy shirts and Kenningtons to grab onto. There'll be a lot of stuff to grab onto.
Ponytails and mullets.
They'll be slippery because the beer is going to be flying. But once you get the guy down on the ground, and you could choke him out with peanut shells or sawdust or a cocktail napkin.
But Shamrock gets it for kneeing a guy in the head maybe an inch west of where it would be okay to knee him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not in the UBF.
Not in the UBF.
I love the UBF.
And the commentators are drunken. See, who the hell do we get?
Who's drunk?
We get some guy like Larry the Cable Guy or something. He's like, get her done!
Like a blue comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy
and it just stand up and they just yell racial epithets. And even if they're both white.
Right.
Yeah. And everyone's sloppy and making excuses for the other guys. Oh, and when the fight ends, there's one last round. As a matter of fact, on a five round fight, we end it. The cops rush in at 4.5. So we break them up and we decide to announce a winner, but one guy breaks free and jumps on the guy one more time, and then there's 30 seconds left.
Nice.
Now in UBF, is there a cut man?
Everybody. Interesting, yeah. Yeah, the bartender, he's dressed like a bartender, and he's using table salt to cauterize the wounds.
In my personal experience, if you lose the fight, but you're bleeding a lot and totally taking it like a man, you're still looking okay.
Yeah.
I think there should be no cut, man. You just bleed all over yourself and just be a tough man about it. Just take it.
Well, either way, I'm looking for backers right now.
Okay, I'm in. Right. I'm in 10 G's.
Winner leaves with the other guy's New Jersey girlfriend,
yes,
too. That's part of the plan as well.
I swear to God, as soon as I turn on MySpace, there's going to be 50 girls from Jersey, four of whom I slept with, offering to do this job.
Wait a second. I got another idea. The undercard is a cat fight.
Yeah.
Just when you think it can't get any better.
Yeah. And it
started off a little bit.
And at some point, if we do get a fighter of color in there, a heavyset older woman who plays his mom comes in and starts hitting someone with a shoe.
Nice.
Huh?
Peanut
comes in there. There you go. All right. What the hell did I want to talk about? Well, let's see. Could shift gears into a new topic, or we could break and try to stay on time. Bill Allen.
That'd be novel.
It would be novel. Yeah, let's see what it feels
like
for a change. Bill Allen. He's an expert on why intelligent people are unhappy. Listen up, T.
All right.
I've said this many times. Hold on a second. Put that music down for a second before we bring him in. Because I'm very interested in this topic. I've said many times that the sharper the instrument your brain is, the deeper it cuts in good and in bad ways. I mean, when it becomes a finely honed sword, it'll cut you up as well as cutting them. You know, you could go have a verbal argument with someone, cut them to ribbons because your brain works that much faster, and then on the drive home, cut yourself to ribbons alone in your car, just thinking about what you did that day or even that year.
I think I've hurt people for longer periods of time by what I've said than what I've done.
Sure. And then you turn the brain on yourself oftentimes.
Look at some of the great minds, your Hemingway and your Plath. They off themselves.
They kill themselves. Yeah. They hate their brain so much they put a bullet in it.
And the opposite, right in the oven.
And the opposite of that, of course, is ignorance is bliss. And I've seen that happen. I've seen the stupidest chicks in the world have everything and enjoy it.
Yeah. And men, too. And if you go, you know, if you look at it, I really just look at it this way. I keep my realm not within the human realm, but within creatures on the planet, meaning my dog, Molly, is the happiest creature on the planet. One of the dumbest, but one of the happiest. Doesn't know it's going to die. Doesn't know about its ultimate demise. Doesn't know about what's going on in Darfur. Doesn't know what's going on in Iraq.
Ryan's like that.
Doesn't worry. Doesn't worry needlessly about the invisible world of germs and mold that's going to attack you. Doesn't need to open the bathroom door with the sleeve of it Molly's shirt. No, Molly trucks through life, craps where she wants. Every person that comes up my driveway is a potential new friend for Molly. Some guy comes walking up the driveway. Here comes Molly. Tail wagging, wants to see what's going on with this potential person that may be feeding Molly or petting Molly. Whereas I see a new guy come up the driveway and I'm like, who's this guy? What's he want? What's going on? Potential danger. Uh-oh.
And fight or flight. What's that?
The
UPS guy,
Stuff
could be delivering stuff my wife doesn't necessarily need to know about. Everything's potentially weird.
Not all dumb creatures are happy.
Could have a delivery of a sperm for Mrs. Bonaducci. Say about, I can hear Danny on the air, so we know he's not here. By the way, the best.
By the way, if your husband calls you a lot, it's just to check to see if you're actually there.
You should really, if I had a woman that was on the radio, it would take me about 8 to 10 days to start cheating. If I just knew exactly physically where they were, if I could turn the radio on and physically hear them talking at a location that was 5 to 8 miles from where I was. Boy, you want to talk about certainty.
I got a question.
Yeah, but you get busted on best of day.
She'd know, but my question is this. Is she reasonably bright?
Who?
The woman you're cheating on.
Woman on the radio that you're cheating on.
Yeah, let's say she's reasonably bright.
Because when I was in Philly and first started in radio, I was a full-blown addict, not just some drunk guy, but a cocaine addict. Mm-hmm. And that was 20 years ago. I haven't done any of that. That just follows me, that reputation. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I became addicted. I'd become numb, and I couldn't speak, clearly. And I would record a four-hour show. Now, it was a music-oriented show, 11, 12 songs an hour. But within weeks, I got so good at it.
Yeah.
I could do time checks. I could do the weather. Mm-hmm. I could say what three records would be coming up next and then do the time after that. I'd figure it out, and I'd record that four-hour show in under 10 minutes and then leave the room and not come back till 4 hours later. So if she's reasonably bright, she'd figure out he doesn't really have to be there.
Yeah, but it would be an all-talk format.
Okay, you're kind of
she wouldn't be hung. She wouldn't be strung out on cocaine either. Listen, I'll work
it out.
You're
not hanging with the right kind of women.
Well, let's use our intelligence to go to break.
Good call. Point is my dog Molly is the goddamn happiest creature on the planet. And then you start getting into stupid people, and not all of them are happy, but a lot of the super smart ones know too much. And then you mix that knowledge with 700 hours of news being streamed every day on everyone's computer, and it's all about the killer bees, and it's all about the killer mold, and it's all about the killing in Iraq. How many hours of that a year can you watch as an intelligent person and not be knocked down a notch or two?
Yeah.
All right. And this is why, you know, when people go, people do this thing where they go like, hey man, let me send you an email or whatever with an attachment. It's a guy getting a compound fracture. He's working, he's fixing a train track and a truck, a dining car hits him and you see his leg coming. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. Oh wow, you got to see it. I don't want to see it.
The last horrible thing I saw that a listener sent me was John F. Kennedy's autopsy. Yeah.
Don't need it.
Don't need it. And since then, there's so much stuff on the web. Do you remember Daniel Pearl, the reporter who had his head chopped off?
Yes.
That was all over the web.
I never looked at it.
By the way, sleep for days.
You don't think there's enough bad rolling around in my brain to last me another several thousand years? Do you think I need to add on just a little more bad? Oh, here's a news reporter getting his head cut off.
Oh, here, quite toss in. His wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What I need to get through my day.
All right, Bill Allen, everybody. Turn it around. Causes and cures for today's epidemic and social problems. We'll talk to Bill next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up with program director Jack Silver.
What up, players? Time to get jiggy with today's show. From White Chicks and Little Man, comedian Sean Wayans. Billy West will be here to do a little Cancer Danny. Former UFC middleweight champ Frank Shamrock. And thank Christ, Hooters Girls. Finally, we're bringing some class, dignity, and jugs back to morning radio. Ace Man, when you're done with the ladies, send them back to my office. I got something for them. That ain't ranch dressing. Boop.
Good times. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Bill Allen. Love that Jack Silver, by the way.
I was going to say, what a good sport, man.
Yeah, not the real Jack Silver. Bill Allen?
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you, sir?
Just fine.
So, Bill, you speculate that dumb people are happier than smart people?
No, that would be vastly oversimplifying the case, Adam. Mm-hmm.
That way I will understand it.
Yes.
No, it's a matter of everyone defines happiness in their own way, but unhappiness is equally as individual. So that is to say, people can be unhappy for a wide variety of reasons. And a lot of those reasons have to do with their inability to cope with the situations of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
When we're all kids, we learn through four, what I call, streams of development, intellectual, which schools handle primarily, physical, which is, you know, sports, exercise, that kind of thing, social and emotional. It's the social and emotional that many people don't get enough exposure to, so they don't develop a kind of maturity, either socially, so that they're not able to develop close friendships, which means support systems.
Well, you're that nerd.
So, yeah,
we got all sorts of questions.
Shocking that the captain of the football team would construct this interesting idea. Bill, what is your own background?
I'm a teacher, former a classroom teacher, and for the last several years, I've been more or less teaching adults around the world, mostly through the internet and my website and through my book.
Well, Bill, what can most I was going to say Americans, but you're calling from Toronto, Ontario, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. The book now means nothing to me.
Yeah, I should say Ontario, Canada. I don't know why it says. Well, anyway. I think that's a Kyle typo on the thing. But what can most people on the planet do to make themselves happier? What's an easy couple of rules of thumb that is going to make an impact in our lives in terms of happiness almost immediately?
I think the biggest thing is people have to define for themselves what happiness is, what will make them happy, instead of taking...
Well, but hold on a second, Bill. I don't want to cut you off, but I don't know if we know. Yeah. I think people watch, especially us ugly Americans, we watch a TV commercial, we see a Cadillac, and we think, if we had an Escalade, then we would be happy. Or we see a beautiful woman applying mascara on the next commercial, and we think, if we had her, we'd be happy. well, eventually we get the Cadillac or maybe we get the trophy wife and we're still not happy. So maybe we aren't the ones who should be deciding what makes us happy.
And interesting, because Adam is so right on this, and I happen to have lived the example. At one point or another in my life, I have had every single thing I thought would make me happy. Money, fame, then alcohol, then other substances. Everything made things worse. Everything made things worse. So we're the worst possible choice for
Bill,
what will make us happy.
Maybe you should tell us what's going to make us happy.
Please tell me.
I'm not sure that I can do that, Adam. As I say, everyone has to define it for themselves. But one thing we can be fairly certain of is if someone else tells us what's going to make us happy, and if they can make money from it, then probably it's not something we should be embracing.
Well, how about this simple thing? Thank God Bill's on the phone so I can tell him and everyone else how to be happy. I've found that there are things you think about a lot that would just be basically called negative thoughts. There are things you can't change, things that happened in the past, things that you have no control over, whether it's obsessing over Iraq and the young boys dying and women dying over there, or maybe it's thinking about a relationship you had 10 years ago that you screwed up. There's a lot of sort of what I call, there's like, we have this tendency as human beings where you have a tooth that's sensitive, so you walk around all day flicking it with your tongue, knowing that each time you flick it with your tongue, it's going to bring some pain, yet you do it again. That's sort of beating yourself up, not only over things that you've been involved with, but over sort of world events that you can't really control. For me, that would be the number one thing I would do to try to salvage a little more happiness out of life, to knock that habit off.
And get a great mattress.
Yes, and a good dentist.
I got to tell you something, because I'm curious. The way that this was presented to me from the whole gang here was that you had a theory that more intelligent people were more likely to be unhappy. Is that your position?
That was the general idea. The reason being, though, that...
Well, let's stick with the general idea. Do you think that people of higher intellect or higher IQ or more well-read are unhappier than those who are illiterate or just in junior college? But do you think those of higher intellect are more depressed than your average American or your average Canadian?
I wouldn't call it depressed. There's a big stretch between depressed and unhappy, and I wouldn't say that.
Well, I have medications for both. Right,
hold on a second. I'm getting depressed with this interview. I feel like
I'll take it if you want.
Bill is a rock that I've been squeezing for about the last 10 minutes, and I can't get an ounce of anything out of him.
Could we achieve more happiness by hanging out?
I consider myself a nerd.
Well, I don't want to be mean. I like Bill. Well, no, that's it. I don't like Bill. Here's what I'm saying. Bill doesn't seem like a bad guy.
No, he seems like a nice guy.
There's a few kinds of bad interviews that go down on this show. Yes. We have people with bad attitudes.
And that can go fun, though.
That can go fun.
If their attitude's bad enough for me to make
pleasant.
Me mad.
But I feel like I know exactly as much about the topic we were going to talk about 10 minutes ago as I do now, and Bill is the expert. And maybe it's us. Maybe we keep asking him for something, and
it?
He keeps denying.
Let me try him one question.
Don't do anything. Bill, please tell us what you know about this topic. We'll not ask you questions, because when we ask you questions, I think you feel trapped, and then you go the other direction. So please tell us something interesting about this topic you're an expert in.
I think that it's the emotional maturity and the social maturity, that is to say emotional skills, coping skills, and social skills that more intelligent people tend to lack, because as children, they get going along the intellectual track.
Okay, I know now. Now I feel somewhat enlightened, which is...
Actually, I'm not kidding. I do a little bit, too.
But Bill is saying is that we'll call them nerds, for lack of a better term. They are very good at cracking the books. They're very good at playing the piano. They excel in all the academic stuff, but they don't socialize as well.
Right.
We all know the guy is a crappy student, but he's a great athlete, and he's great with the ladies. This guy gets socialized very nicely. The nerd guy, while he's excelling in the classroom or she's excelling in the classroom and off to bigger and better things, such as Stanford or Harvard, on a scholarship, not as happy because never has the interaction and the social adjustment and contact.
Yeah, I
yes,
get that.
Bill.
By the time he's an adult or getting well into, let's say, middle age, then that becomes a stumbling block. He realizes he's not as socially adept.
I know, and then they become television executives and take it out on the rest of us.
No, baby.
Well, Jesus Christ.
My question is sort of a chicken and egg thing. Is it because somebody's intelligent that they then don't have social skills, or does somebody become interested in reading and learning because they are already sort of unhappy and antisocial?
I don't think either one. I think it's, there's some sort of a natural tendency to be good at intellectual kinds of things, such as reading, learning, so on.
I heard you could barely keep Edgar Allan Poe off the dance floor. So sometimes these things don't go together.
Yeah, but then he heard the creaking and the heartbeat coming from the bottom of the dance floor. Hey. Well, Bill, no, I think you're answering Teresa's question, you have a natural capacity for
learning. Not because you're unhappy, but just because you have a high IQ.
Well, actually, maybe
like
it's
that.
Both.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so what should nerds do to overcome this?
I think it's what the parents and teachers could do when they're kids. They need to stress more the skills, the social skills, and the emotional or coping skills. They need to know that when they run into some sort of crisis, there are answers. There are people they can turn to. They're not alone. They know what to do when there's a serious problem.
Well, but just your average sixth grader who seems to be doing great in reading and writing and arithmetic, but not so good out on the play yard, should you force that kid to put down the book and get out and start taking his or her lumps out on the schoolyard?
No, I think the teachers can play a role in beginning that socialization process, teaching the socialization. You can't force a kid to do anything. They don't learn by forcing anything.
Yeah,
well, maybe you could socialize that kid with children who would be more like her peers. You put her in the chess club.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, because it's basically needing to be part of a community that's important for happiness. Yes,
right.
Bill?
Right.
All right. So
I was thinking just touch him with a lit cigarette and say, go play.
His own brand of branding.
I make stuff happen.
Bill Allen. Bill, how do people find you to find out more about this topic?
Well, just go by on the internet, do a search for Google, Bill Allen, B-I-L-L-A-L-L-I-N. It's the I-N spelling that would be different. Or go to BillAllen.com, which is my website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of information there. Find out about my book and go a lot deeper into the topic.
This seems like a non-specific way to get a hold of a guy who's supposed to be bright.
BillAllen.com.
BillAllen.com. With an I.
A-L-L-I-N.
That's how he spells it. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
How many times did you see Lord of the Rings?
I haven't seen it at all.
What? Wait, hold on. How old were you when you lost your virginity?
120.
Come on, Bill.
I would have to say about 17.
He'd have to say it. Of course, he'd be lying. No, I think this guy's a regular guy. He's just, you know what, you get in this room, and we're fast and hard, and it's early, and he's in Canada, of all places.
All right.
I'm a nerd.
All right, Bill. Good speaking to you, my brother.
God bless you.
Thanks, Adam.
Keep up the good fight.
I don't know what he's fighting
Teresa
for.
Teresa that blessed you when you said thanks, Adam.
So ultimately, his point, and I guess this is what it is, And I guess what we're looking for ultimately in life, children, is balance. If you have a kid who's mopping up playing a Socko or Smear the Queer, all the important games you play out on the schoolyard, if he's doing that but not so good in the classroom, then you get him to put down the utility ball and pick up a number two pencil. And by the same token, and these people get left alone, and maybe this is the problem. My whole life, I was good at sports. My whole life, I excelled in not only team sports, but just sort of socializing. But I was a horrible student. And so people fed me a steady diet of, you got to work harder in the classroom. You've got to learn to read. You're in high school now. Things like this. And that's fine. I never, thankfully, I never listened to them. And now I'm literally a millionaire. But I never listened. But I got a steady diet of that. On the other hand, there were kids who were accelerating in the classroom, and they didn't get the pressure. Go out there and start playing football with these guys. Go out there and take your lumps. Go out there. It was more like, hey, you're a great student. Another A for you. You do your thing.
Right.
So maybe those kids need a little peer pressure, the same pressure the dumb jock gets to get his grades up. Maybe those kids need a little dumb jock pressure to get out into the yard.
But do you feel that that, because I, are we talking about two separate things, or does one lead to the other? Because we started this with Hemingway and Van Gogh and all these geniuses that killed themselves, and just, even our friend Richard Jenny. Are we talking about if they were pushed out onto the yard to change
we're
their
talking
lives, they might not have ended up dead, or they might not have ended up genius.
Yeah, we'd never have old man in the sea.
I think they would remember. I think they would be a genius. You don't have to be a tortured genius to be a genius. I
like them, though, to be
it's
honest.
It's nice.
I really prefer them, honestly.
It's nice to watch their work. It's sort of like, it's nice when models have eating disorders. We don't care. We're not the one who's throwing up. We just see them nice and thin walking down the catwalk.
And I know that he cuts himself and paints. I go, okay, I like his art better than that guy that whose painting is actually better, but doesn't cut himself.
And when you listen to Billie Holiday, it's haunting because she's haunted.
I don't know that dude, but anyway, I don't know what he wrote. The point is,
he invented cancer, Dan. What are you, stupid?
Was he that gay writer?
She was a singer. She was haunted. She was a heroin addict. There's nothing
Richard
like listening
Pryor
to her.
Richard Pryor played piano for her, though. She
sang something up tempo. You don't care.
Right. Well, look, I understand the points my depressed brethren are making right now. All I'm saying is the greatest strength I've found in my life is my friends and my social interaction with my peers. My family is sort of semi-worthless. I'm not a religious person, so I never really had God or my family or counselors or anybody else. I had the guys on my football team.
Right.
I had my friends. I had my brethren, and those are the guys I was into, and girls, for that matter, too.
How would I know
that?
And
it's been a great source of strength for me, and also a great source of entertainment. I love going out to dinner. I love traveling with. I love seeing a movie with. I love the social interaction and those friends. So for the guy who's
really
cooped
lucky.
Up, who's writing all day with by candlelight, never seeing the light of day, maybe that guy should get out.
It's critical to human happiness. When I was writing full-time as a freelancer, I would just go to the coffee shop with my laptop just to be around people, even if I didn't directly interact.
You're one of them.
What was I going to do? I needed to be around people.
They didn't need to be around you, sweetie.
I told you this, and I was not being facetious at all. The people I know best in the world that I'm not married to or the child or brother of are sitting here. I don't know people at all, and it's a choice I make, but my wife thinks it's really unhealthy.
Yeah, why?
It is unhealthy.
Because I don't have the time to waste on people that cannot deliver. You know what I mean? You guys are professionally clever and interesting, and I'm constantly disappointed at a dinner conversation. And I think to myself, by the time I'm done with my salad, I'll never speak to this guy again.
But you know, something that's interesting, and
unless he can get chicks.
Hope none of my friends are listening, or some of them.
See, I just like to be able to say that.
The thing is you
I hope
have,
none of my friends are listening. Oh, I can say that.
You can have different friends for different reasons.
Yeah.
I have friends that are super smart and super funny, and all we do is talk about funny and talk about sports and talk about TV and make fun of people. And then I have my car friends.
Right.
I got buddies who we just talk about cars and we just dig cars. And then I have my building friends. We just talk about building. Now,
do you understand any of those guys?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they're not the same guy you want to go out to dinner. You don't want to sit down and write a movie with these guys. They're not very funny. They're not very witty. They may not even be interesting, but it's nice to go to the car show with them.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is everybody is not stimulating intellectually, but you don't need them for everything.
See, if I could find the guy that fills the need for, I have no use for human contact guy. If I can find that guy, I'd probably be able to hang with him.
I would argue, Danny, that you do have a community because you're so close with your nuclear family, and also you have a church community, and I think that serves the same function.
That's true. That's like a weekly little kind of hangout and get together chat for a couple hours.
Don't you feel good when you do that? Even if you don't believe in God, I think you still get a lot out of going to any religious group because of the communal aspect.
Okay, I'm moving into my church now just to feel better about myself.
We need to take ourselves a break, but before we do...
And Danny kills himself.
And Danny kills himself. We'd like to hear from you on a new topic. March Madness, right?
Yeah.
When are we starting? Is March Madness start today?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought we'd do a little March Madness, Adam Carolla Show style, which is what makes you maddest? You call up, you tell me, I'll probably be able to do you one better.
Are we coming up with 64 things that make you mad?
No, it's too many. We're going 32.
Well, okay.
Because I actually sat up for a moment and paid attention to what we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it is, you're going to call us at 1-866-901-ADAM. Pretty easy to do. And it's just that thing. It doesn't have to be like a big thing where my sister started doing that about it. The color blue. It makes me crazy. The thing that snaps you into madness, hence the word.
Right. Right, yeah, and it says, I got this card handed me, it says what makes you maddest, but it's what makes me maddest. That's the confusing part. Now I'm mad at Angie for handing me this stupid card.
Yeah, but
card.
I feel like this
that's
is already,
seed.
I feel like Left Hand Turns is already the number one seed.
Well, you call up and you tell us what makes me maddest. Now, it can be some of the stuff that I've said before that you may know well, or if you're really smart, you'll introduce something that maybe you haven't heard me touch on. Either way, I'll get mad about it, and then we'll start to narrow down the brackets, and we'll come up with our Elite Eight and our Final Four and all that good stuff as the...
16.
As the March Madness continues. So 866-901-ADAM, what makes me the maddest? Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny! I'm a has-been still.
He's the man.
Dynamite!
With red hair, freckles, and bedazzled girly pants.
I bedazzled those front pockets myself.
Danny!
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Karate dude.
I'm the transvestite guy.
Beat up a tranny and got arrested in the nude.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
Booze, loots, cowboy boots. He smokes three packs. Even let an old lady shave his sack.
That's how I was raised.
Danny!
Something so pleasing about those drops.
So flattering.
I am not mad at that song.
Nope. That song is giving me joy.
I feel like Rich Banks could write a song about a total stranger, and at the end of the minute and 21 seconds, I would know just about everything I needed to know about that person.
I was thinking
person.
About this yesterday, Adam, because there was some song about me, and it was really, really insulting, and I couldn't enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Because the funny songs can be filled with insults.
Yeah, right? You know,
with the Jew.
It's funny. It's sort of like when you go into an old restaurant, and there's a caricature of Buddy Hackett on the wall. They always draw you too fat and your nose too big and your eyes too small, but it's such a tip of the hat just to have your caricature above the dining booth.
Indeed.
It feels good.
But
all right.
What happens sometimes? They take it down.
Mm.
Oh, have you had this happen to you?
Yeah.
Who took your picture down?
I think it wasn't my picture. It was a table at the smokehouse over here in Berkeley. And it said the Partridge Family in a brass plaque. Over our booth.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day they took it down and I couldn't get a table.
I went there when I graduated high school.
Really?
I went to the smokehouse.
My daughter went there last night.
Well, it was a big deal for Carolla's eating out. We didn't eat inside our own house, much less out of the house.
How should I know?
The smokehouse was one of the many, many, many mystery restaurants I used to pass by as a kid and go, what kind of elite, rich entrepreneur eats at this place, because we certainly don't. But you guys filmed across the street over at Paramount or over
Columbia
at
Ranch. It's right at Warner Brothers and across the street. The
old smokehouse.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
they took my plaque, the bastards.
We will, we'll see if we can rectify that injustice in the 9 o'clock hour, Danny. But first. It is March Madness, everybody, and we thought we'd do our own version of that. You call up, you throw out a topic, we'll see how PO'd I can get about it, we'll get our bracket system and we'll move ahead. You win, we'll push you ahead to the next bracket. So
now, what if you're okay with it and Teresa is really upset? Any points, or it's all just we got to make Adam go
Let's
over the
put
top?
It, I'll answer it this way. Who's Teresa?
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have your answer?
Got my answer.
All right, let's do
That's
a little,
hilarious.
Little March Madness. Well, I'm just trying to rile you up. Let's see.
That's the double entendre there.
Let's talk to John. John?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Do a little March Madness with the Ace Man. What do you got for me?
Okay, you know what? A lot of things piss me off in this godforsaken mud ball they call planet Earth, but one thing more than anything else is getting and having to go to court and pay for a chicken-ass ticket.
Strong. Yeah, I drove to Vegas when we were out there last week. I drove both legs all the way back and forth. I passed cops. They used to just hang out on the overpass. Now they're just parked in the dirt by the side of the freeway with a radar gun. And now I'm going to stand up because I'm getting angry.
There we go. All right.
Well, here's the thing that the fuzz, the heat and the man has figured out. They figured out that cars are much safer and much faster than they used to be, yet the speed limit has not changed. Now, everyone dig on this. When I drove my buddy's 84 Nissan pickup truck with the bench vinyl seat on it out there 20 years ago. Well, when you get that car going with the skinny 70 series tires and the crappy four-speed transmission, when you got that baby up to about 75, things started shimming. Yeah. You felt the wind. You heard the wind coming through. Remember just the wind sound in cars? Remember you couldn't talk Nothing after sealed, about 70? Yeah. You'd be driving along in a 66 GTO and be like, huh? Turn here! You'd be using semaphore like they use on an aircraft carrier. Guy would have flags and stuff. You have to use a goddamn intercom system to talk. Now what happens? You get in that Mercedes, you get in that BMW, you get in that Cadillac, you shut the windows like an airlock. Whoomp. Shuts every. You can't hear the engine running. The cars have speed rated tires. They have ride sensing suspension. They have anti lock brakes. And the next thing you know, you're going 80 and you don't feel it.
120.
You don't feel speed. I mean, when you're in an airplane, a commercial jetliner, you're traveling 575 miles an hour, and you're drinking a highball and considering stealing the warm nuts off your neighbor's tray while he's passed out. That's 575 miles an hour. Do you feel it? Should you be ticketed for it? No, it's a safe speed for that mode of transportation. Well, automobiles are now there.
Yes.
They're officially there. There's no more shimmying. There's no more smoking. You don't feel the wheels shake in your hands. You don't hear the brakes squeak or rattle. So the cops have figured out that every guy in a Subaru or an Acura in a car that was built in the last 5 to 8 years can sail down this freeway, and he's going to be going 15 miles an hour faster than he was before because it just feels fine. Well, they've not modified the speed limit to reflect the new innovations in automobile safety and speed. So what do? They just pop everybody. But instead of popping real speeders now, which were guys driving VWs 80 miles an hour, they're popping everybody because everybody drives a car. And furthermore, you're pulling over secretaries, you're pulling over school teachers, you're pulling over people who you know aren't criminals. Listen, cops, stop harassing the man. We pay your goddamn salary. Your job is to go out there and look for criminals. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. When a guy's looking a little shifty, when a guy's looking a little bit dicey, when the guy's got the limo tint up on the car, he's got foil up on the back windows, or one of the taillights is out, and he's when the guy's got Bondo all over one fender and primer all over the other, and he looks like a gangbanger. Right. There's blood dripping out of there. Pull him over. Because these guys are pulling over guys and 06 Acuras who are wearing turtlenecks and cardigans right at the same time. They know these guys aren't criminals, and they're handing them chicken-ass tickets, and they're sending them on. When are we going to stop being harassed by our police force? When is our police force going to stop crime instead of stopping us? Do you know that what feels like 99% of what our own goddamn police force does is come down on us? When I drive my car, my head's on a swivel. I'm looking in the rearview mirror. I drove all the way to Vegas looking back at Los Angeles. Right. And when I got to Vegas to drive back to L.A., I spent the entire time looking in my mirror looking back at Vegas. Why? Scared of cops. Scared of cops. But what? Let's break me down. All I do is pay goddamn taxes. That's all I effing do. Do I have a rap sheet? No. Is my car legal? Yes. Am I driving erratically? No. But what do I have to do? I have to drive back from Vegas scared.
Right.
Because I may get a chicken-ass ticket. Well, that's the society we've created for ourselves. When are we going to wrestle it back? When are we going to wrestle our society back from the cops and say we weren't doing anything wrong? Yes, I was going 82. It was a flat, straight stretch of highway, and I'm driving a vehicle that's capable of 170.
The only decent thing the French ever did was Bastille Day. And that is essentially what Adam is describing. We Let's should go. Storm the Bastille
yes.
and
change the rules. This looks I like agree. A number one seed for you, chicken-ass tickets. Also, caller, please.
It bothers me that the cops also no longer need to hide because our cars are so capable of going so fast.
Right.
You, once you see them, it's too late.
Right.
So
they have the advanced radar guns and everything. I'm just saying, there when are we going to wrestle our streets back? Not from the criminals. We yeah. always talk about taking the streets back. We're going to take our streets back. How about we get our streets back from the cops? We get to drive on the streets. How about that? How about we all light a goddamn candle and walk down the streets? Not from the Crips, not from the Bloods, not from the gangbangers, from the goddamn chicken-ass pussy cops that are writing nothing tickets all day long. When do we get our streets back? TJ?
Yo, Adam.
What's up, brother? I feel like you're in my refractory period now.
Adam's see if actually I can, just going to spoon you.
See if I can get wood again while we spoon and I watch all the Sports Center.
Jesus.
I'll give you an intellectual Viagra here.
All right, okay. Go ahead.
People who do not take responsibility for the crap that they do something boneheaded, something stupid, and then they look for somebody, oh, this can't be my fault.
Yes. So something or something bad happened to me, somebody must pay. I dumped hot coffee in my lap, somebody's got to pay. I hurt myself breaking into your business. Who's going to pay?
That's true.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I know. And, Lindsay Lohan ran over my foot because I wouldn't remove myself from the front of her car with my camera. Who's going to pay? I was watching a CNN this morning. There was a mom on there. You want to talk about white trash? She has a 13-year-old that had like 126 felony convictions. And she's on there talking to the camera saying, well, not all of them are his fault. Maybe only 75. It's society's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the man's fault. When is it ever your fault? My God, what happened to dignity? What happened to self-respect? What happened to my bad? What happened to the part where you slipped on a floor and it was your fault because you were walking too fast and wearing yes. the wrong heels and you hopped up, looked around out of sheer embarrassment, dusted yourself off and walked yourself to the emergency room because you had a compound fracture, but you're too embarrassed over your slip to ever call attention to it. What happened to that shame? And what happened to that part where you did not blame society, but you blamed yourself for the ills? And if it's always society's fault, and it's always your boss's fault, and it's always your school teacher's fault, and it's always your husband's fault or your wife's fault, how are you ever going to get anywhere? If it's always someone else's fault, well, then do the math. They're the one that's holding you down, not you. You're fine. You're perfect. You should never change. So you're getting D's and F's. It's not your fault. The teacher hates you. Why should you study harder? Your teacher should work harder. Right. Your boss hates you. That's why you're not getting along.
I think TJ provided another number one seed, maybe on the bubble with the two.
TJ.
Next caller.
Yes.
Thanks for the Viagra, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime.
Like that. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Yeah.
We're doing March Madness here. We're seeing what can get me the most angry or the angriest, mostest. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, those are tough to follow, but when I'm in a restaurant for whether it be a dinner meeting or whatever it is, and I can hear somebody eating.
I'm sorry, but I'm a mouth breather. I have a deviated septum, and there's two things I love I love talking and I love eating. And when I combine my two loves at a restaurant, I am that guy.
Oh, no.
I sound like this when we're out to eat. Here's what I sound like. The car's gotten faster. Speed-rated tires, anti-lock brakes, crumple zones, and airbags. Yet these pussos sitting there with the radar guns. And by the way, I pray they all get testicular cancer.
And they took down my plaque and the smokehouse.
They took Bonaducci. The last straw was them taking the Partridge Family plaque down in front of while I sit in the old Bonaducci booth. Yes, I breathe while I eat because my nose doesn't work very well, so thus I can't talk and chew at the same time, even though I do attempt to. So, Steve, I'm sorry.
15 seed, maybe a Cinderella?
Yeah, we'll see if they sink like a three-pointer with no time left on the clock, but it is a long shot. But here's something I'm interested in. Jenna?
Hello, Jenica here.
Jenna, what's happening? Oh, I'm sorry, Jenica.
Hi, Jenica.
Jenica. Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
You know what makes Adam really, really mad? Is when he's in his fine automobile and he has to look at the airbag warning stickers and the Prop 65 stickers. And he has to, everybody has to warn him about how to be safe because he can't make his own decisions.
Refractory period has ended. I can see it.
I must say that I burned a hole in the visor of my BMW M3 while using an industrial heat gun to try to peel off the vinyl sticker, the yellow vinyl sticker. Now, let me explain something for those of you who don't know what this is. And I'm sure all of you have automobiles made in the last 20 years. No, but I'll go over it again. Auto manufacturers, and I have some nice cars, spare no detail to make the cabin of their car beautiful. I have a Jaguar that has like burl walnut and a, you know, a clock in the middle of it that's an analog clock, you know, tick, 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 and mohair this and Connelly leather that. The headliner looks like it's made of virgin wool. And same with the visor, which has a mirror, a lit mirror worked into it. But on top of that, what is there? A big yellow iron-on sticker. Not the Jaguar iron-on sticker, the one that the Department of Transportation issues. That can go on a Jag, it can go on a Rolls Royce, or it can go on a Kia, or it can go on a Nissan Sentra. It's not like there's a $5,000 warning sticker and a $5 warning sticker.
Right.
They're all the same crappy universal yellow, and the only thing that's yellow in the cabin of this beautiful car is this sticker. It's bright yellow. The reason it's bright yellow is so you notice it. Well, the fact that I'm noticing it is ruining my experience of my beautiful luxury cabin. Now, look, if you have to put it on there because the pencil pushers in Washington say you do, that's one thing. I would like to peel it off. I don't need to read my sun visor when I get my goddamn car every day. I don't even know what the effing thing says.
It says the sun also rises. Anyway.
Yes, it says something about an airbag and something about a seatbelt. Do we really need to read this when we get in our automobile? But here's the deal. If you made it so intelligent people that had some aesthetic sense could simply peel it off, well, then there'd be a lawsuit because I would peel it off my Jag, and then I would sell my Jag to one of these a-holes we were talking about earlier this morning. They would get in the car. The airbag would go off because they didn't read the label that was on the child seat explaining to turn the child seat the other way. And then there would be a lawsuit, and Jag would be sued out of existence because of litigious a-holes and unscrupulous lawyers. But do we have to ruin everything with a sticker? Every piece of fruit, everything on an automobile, everything you buy now, you spend 20 minutes with your fingernails scraping. I had to hire a heavy set black woman with long acrylic nails at my home just to scrape stickers off of things.
I actually hired a woman named Chiquita.
Chiquita. to scrape stickers off things. Warning stickers. And here's the thing with the warning stickers. The minute they're ubiquitous, which they are now, they're everywhere. There's not a cigarette lighter you buy that doesn't have a sticker on it. There's not a pack of smokes. There's not a car you buy without 10 stickers. Stickers on the dash, stickers under the hood, stickers there. Well, when they become ubiquitous in society, when you can't look without seeing a sticker, then you know what we do as a society? We tune out. Thus, sticker means nothing. Just like when there's a goddamn beeper for every truck, every car door open, every smoke detector, when there's a beep for everything and a sticker for everything, well, guess what we do as human beings? We shut down and we tune out. So you figured it out. You've done a great job, Your Highness. You've done a wonderful job, the man and your pussy attorneys. Done a great job. We've all tuned out of your stickers. But the upshot is we'll have an uglier product, and we get to walk around and drive around with these things everywhere. It drives me insane. I have beautiful automobiles that have horrible stickers all over them, and I can't remove them.
Hey,
and I burned a hole with a heat gun in my bicep.
I'm sorry, buddy, but I have an aesthetically pleasing, square, beautiful red and white box of cigarettes that says right on it that this could kill me and F up my pregnancy.
Yeah.
That's a drag.
Let's talk to you're not with child, are you, dude?
No, that's as far as I know.
Phil? Oh, no, wait.
Oh,
no,
sometimes it sounds like it.
Justin?
Oh, Joshua. Wait.
Oh, Joshua. What's up, Joshua?
Hey, the people that use the welfare system as a career and sit around and pop out a bunch of kids so they get their big tax refund back. And I knew somebody that worked a couple of hours in an entire year and got back $6,000 on the taxes.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about our system in general. It's not their fault. If you take weak people and you take depressed people and you offer them a stipend so that they can barely live each month, they're going to take it. The majority of people are going to take it. The fact that we ask nothing of those people is the problem, and that's our fault. It's the problem. Look, we are the pet owners and they are the pets. It's not the pet's fault that the pet is fat. It's us throwing it too many table scraps. I know that sounds brutal, but that's the truth. It's not my dog's fault. It's not Molly's fault. She's 30 pounds overweight. It's my fault for throwing her too much crap from the table. She's just a dumb dog who's looking to get a bite wherever she can. Half of this society is just stupid and looking for a handout anywhere they can find it. It's our fault. It's the government. We are the masters. We're throwing them too many scraps, and we're not making conditions to our scraps.
Sure.
What I should be doing with my dog Molly is I will go throw you the tennis ball for 10 minutes. Then you can have some of what's left of my hot dog. Not here's some hot dog, please stop bothering me. That's what we do, and then she heads over to my wife and gets the other half of the hot dog. We need to ask.
You cannot get a whole hot dog in the Corolla household.
That's right. You never get the middle. You get the right side or the left side. Same with the old lady. Point is it's our fault for not asking more of these people. You want welfare? Fine. Here's some Norplant. Stop crapping out kids. You want some welfare? Fine. Show me a couple of job interviews you've been on in the last week. I'm not doing it for us. I'm doing it for you.
Yeah.
Because I will cut you off at the knees if I pay you just enough to live on. And I'm tired, by the way, of the welfare moms with the eight kids doing this thing where you go, I got eight kids and no job. How am I supposed to live off $630? You're not supposed to live off $633. You're supposed to be motivated to go out and work. The day you can comfortably live off the money we give you is the day you stop trying. We don't understand society. In this society, we have to study society because, after all, that's what a society is. And we don't spend enough time doing that. Oh, we got preachers and they're talking about the Bible, and we got black leaders looking out for the brothers, and we got the Mexican leaders looking out for them, and we got the white guys looking out for them. Everyone's looking out for guys with guns, but we don't study our society as a group. How do we motivate people? How do we get this group that's not doing what we want them to do? They're crapping out kids, they're not working, they're on the dole. How do we get them to do it? Well, handing them enough to get by and no strings attached. And then when we say, hey, when you crank out your ninth kid, you're going to lose your welfare check, and those pussies over at the ACLU go over there and get their panties in a bunch and storm the courthouse. This is no way to conduct a society. Our job is figure out what makes the group tick, whether it's human beings or polar bears. Figure out what we want them to do and entice them to do it. Thank you.
Nicely said.
Wow. So we got welfare, litigious people, chicken-ass tickets, and safety stickers.
Litigious is good.
Strong.
This is tough.
Boy, this is tough.
We'll take a break. So we'll take a break, and then we'll pick a winner.
Yes.
All right. Absolutely. And T, you'll do the news?
Oh, yes. Shall I tease it up?
Don't get me started on your news, sweetie.
Well, take a quick listen to this. Somebody was eliminated last night on American Idol.
America has decided that Sanjaya, you are...
Oh.
How do you like that?
We'll take a quick break. We'll tell you the winner of our first March Madness. What would we call this? First...
First. I think that all these are going to make the field, and we'll narrow it down so over the course of a couple of weeks.
We're trying to get a Sweet 16 together.
So we'll seed these guys. We'll seed them, and then we'll do the tournament.
All right, so we'll give them the seeds next, and we'll have the news as well as who's coming in? Is it Damon Wayans? Sean Wayans is coming in. And much, much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Get him and body back.
If you said The Karate Kid...
Get him a body bag!
You're correct! Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Nothing captures the spirit of martial arts more than a blonde kid screaming, "Get him a body bag!"
No.
At the All Valley Tournament. That's what the masters had in mind when they brought it here thousands of years ago. T.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Our bracketed system.
Oh yes.
For March Madness.
Yes, we've got to seed some things that you're mad at. We've got people who abuse welfare, litigious people, chicken S tickets, and safety stickers.
I'm going to put safety stickers at the top because...
Number one seed.
I'll tell you why, because we're doing this all month long in, with the big college tournament going on. The reason I'm putting it up there is because it's a deep cut. It's a B-side. On right. The Ace Man's Mad Ramblings tour, you know what I mean? It's a deep cut, and it's something that doesn't seem to bother anyone else, or something I've never heard anyone else talk about. Where I have heard people talk about abuse of the welfare system and litigious people and that kind of stuff. So I'm putting that one up top. I'll put traffic tickets second. We'll go litigious or self responsibility, and then we'll go welfare.
Nice.
In the number four seat.
Those are very, very strong contenders.
Thank you. I think I can do better, though. I always
well,
put
we'll
the pressure. Well, I'm a warrior.
I'm
a complaining warrior.
My gun's too heavy.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to put bullets in it, it wouldn't be so heavy.
You call this a powder horn? This is like a conch shell that a chauffeur would blow.
These meal rations are awful.
Oh, my God. I know. Is this literally... ass on a shingle? Literally? Is this literally a roofing shingle that someone has taken an ass on?
Thank God I brought my Wolfgang Puck. Because they come in those containers now.
Get on your knees, come back.
That skinny guy blows that trumpet with no finger valves on it before 6 a.m. one more time.
Why do they call it boot camp? This isn't like camp.
I want a mint on my goddamn pillow.
Who's going to turn down my cot?
Why do they play Reveille? Does anybody know how awful a song that is? It's not a good song.
I'd like to punch the sea that came up with these sea rations.
All right.
We could do this for days.
It's true.
But
you know, that's unfortunate, but true. We could do this for days.
We have Teresa Strasser and her news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the suspected mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks, admitted to those attacks and numerous others during a military hearing over the weekend. In a statement from him, read by a U.S. military representative, he said, quote, "I was responsible for the 9/11 operation from A to Z."
Is there a more incriminating picture we could find of a human being? All we have... for this guy who's 50 years old is the one shot of him looking like Ron Jeremy in a wife beater being dragged from his Kabul futon. And it's the guilty. You see a picture of this guy and it could say Iraqi man cures cancer. I'd be like, guilty.
Yep.
He needs to fry.
I thought it was to catch a predator when I saw it.
It's a little reminiscent of the Nick Nolte mugshot.
You're naked.
Yeah.
He's a terrorist from a 40s Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Right.
Well, now he's also taking responsibility for the Richard Reid attempted shoe bombing, the Bali nightclub bombing in Indonesia, and the 1993 World Trade Center attack.
I know you might find this hard to believe, a guy willing to kill all those people, but he's a liar.
Sheikh Mohammed?
The guy that planned some of those spectacular attacks did not plan the Richard Reid put bombs in my tennis shoes and try and set them off with a match.
Yeah. Well, there are some people who think that he overstates his involvement
because
he's bragging.
Yeah, and it's so weird because we have, it seems like we have, there's two guys over there at Guantanamo. There's the innocent cab driver who just got dragged in there and has no due process.
Right.
And he's being tortured and he knows nothing. And then there's the guy who finally starts talking. And then when he starts talking, we don't believe him. Now we think he's bragging. It's really a horrible catch-22. It's like you and your dating.
Yes.
If a guy doesn't want to date you, you're interested. If a guy wants to date you, you're not interested. Where does that leave you on a Saturday night?
With a blown up
no date. If a guy doesn't want to talk, we need him to talk. If he does start talking, we don't believe him.
My heart is like Gitmo. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm
So the thinking. Hearings are called Combatant Status Review Tribunals.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is determine whether a detainee such as this guy, mm-hmm. Muhammad, should be classified as an enemy combatant by the president, which would then make them eligible for a military trial. So mm-hmm. this is sort of a tribunal to decide whether it's going to be a trial. It'll go on and on and on.
Well, listen, April. We need to ring this guy like a bar rag for all the information he has, and then we need to kill him.
Right.
That's the way it works.
Well, celebrity suicides. We spoke about Richard Jenny,
mm-hmm.
who his family says killed himself. Last mm-hmm. week, we talked about the lead singer of Boston,
mm-hmm.
Brad Delp.
Mm.
It appeared as though he had died of natural causes. Well, not so much now. His family has more than a feeling that his death was also a suicide.
Self-inflicted heart attack?
No, carbon monoxide poisoning. Yes, according to toxicology tests, he died by carbon monoxide poisoning. He also left two notes taped to a door, along with letters to his family and his fiance.
Well, wouldn't that make the forensic pathologist, what's the word I'm looking for, retarded?
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. Actually, it's a little bit light, because we heard about this story a week ago, and we heard nothing about suicide.
Heart attack.
Toxicology can take some time.
How about the notes?
During the heart attack, he decided, you know what, let's be drama. I'll write some notes while I'm dying and then inhale some stuff from
Danny,
the Buick.
You know you'd write notes while you were dying of a heart attack, though.
I can't spell. I would leave a tape. I swear to God, I would
found
not.
Found a Sharpie and a lit cigarette by his corpse.
I would not leave an illiterate note. I would leave a videotape or an audio tape.
You know what
tape.
I would hope if you were dying? Because I love when you ask me how to spell
dying.
Words. That you'd call me and you'd say, how do I spell forever?
He'll be remembered for his lack of punctuation. All right.
Well, the family released a statement saying, quote, he was a man who gave all he had to give, who gave all he had to give to everyone around him, whether family, friends, fans, or strangers. He gave as long as he could, as best he could, and he was very tired.
Well, I loved Boston, and since that guy was really the only guy in Boston, I'm going to miss him.
I love that band. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Apparently, the family saying that he's...
That was a touching little moment I hadn't expected.
Yeah, I liked Boston. I used to love their first couple albums.
Well, the family is saying that he's now in peace and that he was depressed, much like Richard Jenny.
Well, listen, again, there's a lot of people dying and a lot of eulogies going around. Please, if you're going to be eulogizing somebody later on in the week or in the month, try to refrain from the he's in a better place.
Right.
Yes.
That makes all of us who are in a worse place feel bad.
Well, you can be confident that I am not in a better place.
Well, when Danny goes, we'll have to stifle the laughter.
Yeah. Well, no, you won't
somebody
because
says that.
I don't even remember what I recorded the other day, but it was after somebody died and I made fun of them. And then I gave you guys permission and rather insisted that you do jokes about my hideous death.
Yeah,
I did it to others for a living and would expect no better treatment.
Well, I would like somewhere like...
Danny was in a car crash. You know what the last thing that went through his mind was? His knees.
I was thinking his lit cigarette.
That's what I expect to hear from you people.
This bedazzled women's jeans.
Yep, that's what I expect to hear. You have my permission, almost insistence.
All right.
You know who is in a better place?
Hmm.
One Vietnamese orphan. Because that orphan is now with Angelina Jolie. She left with an adopted 3-year-old son earlier today, left a Vietnamese orphanage. Brad Pitt is not with her. The adoption papers were signed as a single parent because, of course, she and Brad are not married.
Mm-hmm.
They will not get married until gay marriage is legal in America.
Let me tell you what's going through Brad Pitt's mind about now.
And then let me go tell you what's going through Angelina.
I'm curious.
What have I gotten myself into? B, that super stupid but smoking hot 19-year-old hostess at Nobu is looking pretty good about now. I'm
really?
Brad Pitt.
Absolutely.
I may be 42, but I look damn good with my shirt off, and I should just be humping my way through Hollywood. on some sort of midlife crisis retirement tour. And when I broke up with Aniston, I probably should have just went on a rape tour for about 10 years before I settled in with this crazy broad.
Consensual rape tour.
Consensual rape tour. I hope that's clear.
Right.
With this chick who's collecting.
Things that go without saying actually go without saying.
They're collecting orphans like Beanie Babies.
Well,
yeah, it's like when you get, I mentioned this to my wife last night, it's when you get addicted to something like Prada. Now, my wife does not wear anything expensive, but that was our scenario. These children are her Prada bags. She's bringing them. They're almost turning into trophies rather than this wonderful woman who's taking care of the world.
Well, let me break it down for you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say this because I thought it was a very good point that Danny brings up.
Right.
For me, it's not Prada, but I love cars.
Right.
And there's this mode that you go into once you flip a switch. It's a sort of collecting switch. If you collect Prada or you collect automobiles or you collect, you know, you collect comic books or trading cards, whatever it is, it's a switch that gets thrown. You just think about your next one.
Right, right.
You enjoy the car as you're driving it home, but as soon as it gets home, you hop on the computer and start looking for your next. That's where the collection part comes
almost
in.
Almost like an addiction.
It is. It's not the part where you go down and stare at the ones you have. It's where you turn on the computer and stare at the ones you could have. And I imagine it's that way if you like baseball memorabilia, Prada bags. What do you think women do with shoes?
Oh,
they have more shoes than they could possibly wear.
I think of shoes as orphans that I'm saving for my life and poverty.
I think, sadly, her switch has been thrown, and she's looking ahead to the next impoverished country and the next underprivileged child to bring home.
It's true. I used to drip sweat on Melrose when I would see really fancy jeans. Now it's worse because I go to the Gap looking for the plainest jeans in the whole world. So I can make them be dazzled in my own personal fashion. I have stacks and stacks of the exact same blue jeans that will all be different someday.
Well, here's what the family
I'll tell you,
looks like.
Danny, it's like looking in the mirror. Whenever you talk,
twins.
Myself. We're twins. We're separated at birth.
They have a... the Jolie Pitts have a 3-year-old Vietnamese son.
It's like Dolly. I really like doing morning radio with Dolly Parton.
He's about to sing. Actually, I think we have a recording of him singing 9 to 5.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Dig that up,
Danny Bonaducci recorded this, actually.
We do.
I think we also have him doing Coat of Many Colors. Do we have that, Brian?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. Oh, wait a minute. There's him with Kenny Rogers doing Islands in the Stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's take a listen.
That is what we are. No more in between. How can we be far? Sail away. Yeah, Kenny, you guys sound awesome.
Wait, do we have him doing I Will Always Love You? That's Dolly Parton, one of Dolly Parton's best.
That's a great hit. Let's listen to that one. Yeah, it's a classic. It holds up. It's timeless is what it is.
Yep. Yes.
Super quickly, can you tell me what that is called again? What is it?
Tube and throat singing?
Throat singing. Do you know how popular
they harmonize in their throat?
Do you know how popular I have become with the gay community now?
Because of your
they
tube
truly
and throat
think
singing?
I can do a thing called tube and throat singing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they love me. I go to the bar. It's like I'm Fabio. Traffic stops.
Is it the throat singing or the bedazzled pants?
What they want to hear is the stifled throat singing. And the pants.
Better song.
Okay, let me just put a cap on this Angelina Jolie story. Their family now includes the 3-year-old Vietnamese son, a 5-year-old Maddox from Cambodia, 2-year-old Zahara from Ethiopia, and 10-month-old Shiloh, who Angelina Jolie called the Blob. That's their own biological child. She had a little more trouble connecting with that child because it wasn't a child she chose, but a child that they had.
You know, there was a day when if a couple celebrities that looked as good as Brad and Angelina did had a kid, you would want to have sex with that kid sight unseen. Like if somebody said, these two people got together and this is what came out of the chick.
Right.
She's 18 now.
Mr. Carroll, you'd wait 18 months for sure.
Months. Yeah, 18 months. Right. but it would not be a roll of the dice at all. Now, who the hell knows? With all the adoptions and all the crazy things and all the crazy countries, you just can't count on things like wanting to hump hot celebrities' offspring anymore.
You just can't count on 50-50s either. Anybody remember Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley?
I think she's cute,
she
Alexa.
She looks like the dad. She she's looks cute. Like she went 8 rounds with Tyson.
She's not
but
bad.
That, she has a certain... I agree with both of you on this, because she is both hideous and sort of appealing
at the
same time.
Ugly sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I like the
she's ugly sexy. That's fine, but still, that is 50... Hot. That is 50-50. That's like you going 50% peanut butter, 50% fecal matter. Why does this sandwich taste bad?
Because of the peanut butter? What are you stupid?
You say the ugly overpowers the sexy.
Oh, you could have one Billy Joel could ruin 10 Christy Brinkley's.
Yeah, that's totally
the
true.
The more you know.
The more you know. Thank you.
Hot chicks that vomit during sex.
Yeah.
Just turns you right off. Right. I mean, not completely. You can still do it.
Right, but it's difficult. Just challenging. Now, on American Idol last night, the first of the 12 finalists was eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it came down to. There was Brandon Rogers, there was Sanjaya Malakar, and there was Phil Stacey, the bald guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bald guy. So Phil was put back to safety. And then it was down to Brandon Rogers, the former backup singer, and Sanjaya Malakar, the 17-year-old, who's not a very good singer. Brandon Rogers, just to remind you, he forgot the lyrics to his Diana Ross song. It sounded like this. That wasn't so good.
Right.
On the other hand, Sanjaya Malakar remembered his lyrics, but she sort of wished he'd forgotten them. Ryan Seacrest had to drop the hatchet.
Down to Brandon and Sanjaya. Here we go with the results. After nearly 28 million votes, America has decided that Sanjaya, you are safe. Brandon leaves us tonight on American Idol. Sanjaya, you may have a seat. Congratulations, Sanjaya. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Rogers.
Well, thank God he's not doing that thing where he went. And America's decided, Sanjaya, you do not have to go home, but you have to leave here because you've been voted off over. You're going, huh, what? Did he get tossed?
Yes, very confusing.
Yes, just hold the guy's hand up. Like he'd be a great boxing ref. I'm gonna hold the guy's hand up who lost. Then I'll quickly throw his hand down and then hold the hand up of the other. It's like it's too confusing. Just say you're staying, you're leaving. Don't do the reverse.
The best news about last night was that the results show was only a half an hour. So they got they let Diana Ross sing. They did the group song, which is usually a pretty atrocious. Mm-hmm. And then there was elimination and half an hour. It's all over.
Now I hear they did a Dolly Parton song this year. Whichever one, Brian. There we go. Danny jumped in on it.
Oh, Danny guest started?
Yeah.
You say Danny on Idol. Wow.
Yeah.
9 to 5. You sound good.
A little pitchy, dog.
I mean, but he found himself in the end there by the final note.
It was his eye.
It's just eye. It's not his best.
Yeah, not his best. I've heard better.
But
it's
all right.
Bye.
You know I've been a fan
from
the beginning.
Shut up, dog. I knew you drunk, bitch. Back off.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, next up on the show, we'll welcome back Sean Wayans. Sean's going to be the brain of doing some stand-up, but also he's working on the... fifth, he's writing the Scary Movie 5. Oh,
five.
How much money is that franchise?
Boys and Girls, worst parenting ever.
Yeah.
My children, including the six-year-old, can do every single word from every single movie. And the language, because there's nothing nudity or anything like that, and the gore is kind of fake and fun. But the language is the most horrifying you've ever heard, and my kids can do every word of it.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I'm not leaving. We're not doing Scary Movie 5. I just have to come here for that.
Really?
No, I'm not a part of Scary Movie 5.
Oh, it says writing Scary Movie 5.
No, that is so false. We finished after the second one. All right, now I'm going to sit my ass down and talk.
No, I like it when you're angry.
That's right, yeah. But last time we were... Yes, he's angry. Last time he was here, we talked about the franchise. I can't believe that something on this card is inaccurate, by the way.
Brian. First time that's ever happened.
I feel terrible.
Except every day.
No, last time Sean was here, he was saying, well, it was a good 8-9 months ago, but he was saying that they sold the franchise or somebody adopted the franchise and took the franchise and they have nothing to do with it anymore.
But that was
now
eight,
it's all coming
ago.
Back to me.
That's right. He's back.
Sean's back.
They stole the franchise.
Who stole
That's
it?
Right.
Who stole it?
What are you talking about? The man.
Whitey.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Not white people. Whitey. See, Whitey is so white you can't see it.
That's right.
Casper.
How can you catch him?
You can't catch him. Even the white man complained about Whitey.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with Sean Wayans next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Me? Cops took one look at the ID and said, you're right. And he gonna get away with it, too.
Welcome, Sean Wayans, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, nice. Sean.
What's going on, Adam?
What is Simpson's daughter looking like these days?
I haven't seen her in a long time. I really haven't seen her, but last time I see her, she was fine.
Really? Because I noticed pretty. She was starting to pack on the pounds at
really?
A certain point. Well, you know, little girls sometimes...
Excuse me.
But she was packing them on in the right places. Sometimes you pack them
She's
on in the wrong
She's a very pretty
place.
Girl who maybe she... does some emotional eating.
I'm not sure I could
I would be
on.
Eating a lot of sandwiches mm-hmm. If the rumor was my daddy killed somebody.
A lot more than
sandwiches. I don't feel I can get anywhere with this till I point something out. A very macho young man right here, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's more bedazzled than me. Check out that shirt. That shirt
now,
is red hot.
Look here, Danny. Don't compare my shirt to your thing now.
My clothes look just like that, and he makes fun of me. I love that shirt.
All right, Danny, let me explain something.
This is for show, though.
And, Sean, let me defend you. If a brother walks in wearing a fur fedora... You say nice hat.
They say he's pimping.
Yeah, if a white guy walks in, what the F happened to your head? Do you understand?
Yeah.
I would
no
say the same with the bedazzle gun.
There's certain things you can get away with, man.
What else, Sean, besides the hats and the bedazzle?
You know, brothers, we just move. We move with it, and we create the style. And then we had a white man follow us. You know? That's how we do it, you know? It's kind of crazy, but...
But it's true.
It's what we do.
I have said this many times. I don't envy the brothers because all the oppression and all the horrible things Whitey has done to them over the years. But you guys can wear any hat you want.
And that makes up for it.
We only get baseball hat, yarmulke, and we get the beanie. But that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that scene in Glory with Denzel Washington with all his lash marks on his back and the tear mark coming down his eye?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally made up for by a fur hat, I think.
Yeah, I agree with Danny.
I actually thought the performance actually made up for all that. That was actually a great way to take an ass whipping.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
It was one tear.
Yep.
Sean, you're going to be at the Abrea Improv this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Multiple shows on the weekend?
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday.
Well, let's talk about your love of stand-up.
What's going on?
I assume you don't need to do it financially. You do it because you love it.
I do it because I love it. And also, I'm writing movies right now, and it makes me sharp.
Right. Doing the stand-up makes the writing better.
Yes, it makes
and
the writing better.
Maybe even vice versa. But the guy I want to see on stage is the guy who doesn't need the money. The guy who's doing it for the love of the craft.
I'm doing it for the love of the craft. I can stay home and sleep.
That's right.
Yeah.
And probably, like your wife.
Right. You could stay home and sleep on my wife.
On your wife?
Go ahead and sleep
I'll
on her.
I'll give a call. Desperate housewives?
Sean, do you still get nervous when you do stand-up?
Not nervous. I mean, before you go out, you always get a little bit of butterflies because each set is different. But I don't ever worry about not getting a laugh.
Did you ever work with Michael Richards when you were doing stand-up?
Hell no. I'm not working on Michael Richards.
But have you seen him do any stand-up?
The good thing about...
Have you ever worked with the most racist dude in stand-up comedy?
Well, you guys both work the same clubs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yes, I've seen him out.
Yeah.
Is he a horrible stand-up?
You know what? He's not... That's not really his thing.
Yeah.
Not that he's awful, but he was awful that night.
Well, the good thing about
being...
He's
really funny at Klan rallies, but all the laughs are muffled.
No, but you know what? I respect him as an actor. I mean, he was funny on Seinfeld, yeah. So I ain't going to take all his credibility away because he was racist that night.
The good thing about being a Wayne's brother, if you go up and do stand-up, Sean Wayne's goes up there and stinks up the joint. Week later, if a guy saw the show and comes up to him, he can just be like, oh, you mean Marlon?
Oh, that was Keenan.
That was
Keenan?
Yeah, no.
That was
no, I've been on stage at Bray Improv. I don't know where that is.
That was even me. What are you
talking
about?
I've seen Sean do stand-up, and he's great.
I had a different hat. Oh, thank you.
I'm just saying, on the off chance he has a rough night.
Right, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
Well, if I have a rough night, all I have to do is start saying, you know, whoever heckles me, I could just tell him. We would have shoved a pitchfork up your ass for that.
And
that's
heckled?
The line. You know what? I used to get heckled, but, you know, I'm not really nice to people when they heckle me.
What
I give
do
you
do?
A few shots. Well, I let them have it.
You don't... Well, here's the thing, too, is...
In a sense, like, that you're witty and repartee, you just let them have it.
I'm quick, and you don't want to mess with me.
Right, and you've got the microphone.
I got the mic, and I'll make you look stupid and take your date.
What do you think about the whole Mencia Rogan thing? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think what Rogan is doing is a great thing.
Really?
If people are stealing jokes, they need to be bought out of the
joke
closet. Does
he steal jokes?
Rogan?
Mencia.
He has known to dabble in a few people's stuff.
How common is it? Does everyone do it and he just does it more, or he's having more success?
I feel like there's a lot. I feel like this generation of comedians don't respect, you know, the old laws of comedy. Back in the day, everyone knew when someone had a bit on a topic, you did not touch it.
You'd be blacklisted.
You
didn't touch it. And so nowadays, it's like, you know, it's whoever could get it on TV first, they think it's theirs.
It's
but
theirs.
It's not yours.
So, you know,
so
he used to do it and openly and kind of admit to it.
Robin Williams. They used to kick his ass.
And they'd write checks.
Shazbot is what he used to say after they bust him over his head. They used it on TV afterwards.
You just later. Send a note to his agent saying he stole my joke and his agent would send you $500. No questions asked.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting because it sort of speaks to a larger topic, which is there's a lot of things that are official laws that you don't do, but then there's the unspoken things we used to not do in society. We wouldn't scream fire crotch into a camera when we're talking about
then
somebody.
Then it wouldn't be on YouTube afterwards.
Right.
It's like now there's a whole...
Right,
all culture going on.
It's weird that the only rules that exist are the ones that are on the books.
Yes.
The ones that would bring you shame or bring you humiliation or you wouldn't want to be called a coward or you wouldn't want to be called a thief of someone else's material. It's all now.
It's blurred now. Well, look at, people are sharing music on the internet, but that's actually stealing.
That's theft.
If you go anywhere else, if I walked into Krispy Kreme and took some donuts from behind the counter and started sharing it with my friends without paying for it, that's stealing.
I know, and I love the idea that if you defend that, if you say, look, I think that's stealing, you're the man and you're uptight all of a sudden. Somebody went to a recording studio, had paid an engineer, wrote the song, whatever it is, if it's worth $14, it's worth $14. Doesn't matter if it's a song or a tennis shoe, somebody produced it and needs to be compensated.
Yeah, I mean, if it's crappy, don't buy it. But, you know, if it's crappy, don't share it either.
Right.
I love the argument that people make. They go, well, look, there's 14 songs on the album, but only three of them are worth a damn, so why should I...
Well, pay for three.
Yeah, you can
pay
do that
for
now.
Three.
99 cents each.
Pay for three, but the whole sharing thing, well, I guess Carlos is just sharing people's material.
Right.
Yes.
Sean Wayne.
He's not taking.
Sean Wayne is in the studio. What is the next, he's going to be at the Bray Improv this Friday through
Bray
Sunday.
Bray Improv this weekend, and then next weekend, I think I'm in Ontario Improv.
And what is the next Wayne's Brothers movie we can look forward to?
We're in the lab right now. We're writing. Writing a few projects right now. That's just how we come up with the thing that we actually going to end up being in.
Now, will you do like White Chicks 2?
That's a tough one. We have a really funny idea to do one, but, you know, every time I think about getting back in that outfit,
how many hours in makeup to get in that White Chick outfit?
It's like 7 hours of makeup.
See, that made me nervous because I knew by 10 minutes into the movie, I thought, five drinks, I'd have sex with either of those girls. It was a black man.
You did look really good.
Why not do them?
Oh, God. Wow. You have bad taste, Dan.
No, I don't. I'm just a whore.
Well, you guys stop drinking good. And then pick it up on your women.
Every time I see one of those,
yes.
Whatever, I think Jim Carrey when he's going to play the Grinch, or Sean Wayne's when he's going to do the White Chick, and I realize, oh, we have to show up at the set every day at 5 a.m. if we have to start shooting by noon.
Have you ever seen that Bugs Bunny cartoon, him and Daffy Duck trying to outdo each other, and Daffy outdoes Bugs, and he goes, you can only do this once, fellas.
Right.
Don't try this at home.
Right.
That's how we feel getting inside of the White Chick's makeup.
I was going to say,
you
can only do this once.
When, you know, just when I used to do television, when I'd do Love Line or The Man Show or something, the 12 minutes my ass was in the makeup chair was excruciating. Right. Just someone rubbing stuff on you, handling you, you just sitting still there for literally 12 to 15 minutes every day was like, wow, this is a deal breaker.
Yes.
7 hours having prosthetics applied.
And with no sleep.
Right.
No sleep because we had to waive our turnaround time, which is like the time they're legally allowed to work you. So we waived that. So that means we only had like 3 hours sleep.
Now, who do you waive that with? The guild?
The union.
Yeah, with the union.
Yeah, because the thing is they have something called turnaround time, which is if your call time was 7 a.m. and you left the set at 7 p.m., you can't be called at 3 a.m.
And we waived that, and they called us as soon as we left, man.
Because how long did it take to take the makeup off, or why did you even bother to
it only took an hour and a half to take off, but Marlon used to rip his off halfway through shooting. Like, if he knew he wasn't in the scene and when he was done, he'd start peeling it off himself.
I know what it's like, though. You know the day's coming to an end, so you start loosening up the bra.
Yeah.
The panties down.
Yeah, untucking the thing.
Get the fishnets off.
It sounds like a real date. So about an hour and a half, I started unbuttoning her shirt. I got her out of the bra.
This guy right here is creepy. What's going on, Danny?
Dude, you know, you're a pretty man. What can I tell
you? Wow, what is going on,
No,
dude?
I just remember looking, going, thinking that you really pulled it off. In all sincerity, I looked at it like, because I didn't think you could do it. I thought it'd be two black men trying to look like white women, and you didn't. You looked like white women.
Boom.
You pulled it off.
Thank you very much.
So the only thing in between, standing in between White Chicks 2 is 7 hours of prosthetic makeup.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So then you have another idea.
We have several.
Mm. In the lab.
Give us the one you're not going to use.
I can't.
The one you're not going to use.
We don't know if we're not going to use it.
Carlos Mencia could be listening.
We're not trying to share. You know?
All right. So how does the lab work? How does it work? You sit down
spending
with...
Spending a lot of time with Marlon and Keenan inside of one of our houses and just talking and...
Uh-huh.
What's this? What's that sound? What is
smoke
that?
Smoke a little weed. Well, look, you gotta be high when you come
weed.
Up.
Oh, that was... You gave me the crack sound. We don't smoke no crack. Are you crazy?
No.
That
crack
was the weed sound.
That was crack. I heard the little bubbles in it. I heard that sound before.
That's bong. That's a bong sound. There, having a beer. Enjoying a beer and coming up with the next idea.
I don't
idea.
Drink beer.
What do you,
you
drink?
Don't drink?
What do
or
you
do? Drugs?
I drink, well, let's get this right now. Uh-huh. I don't do drugs, but I do drink a little bit of vodka with a little cranberry juice and some Red Bull.
Nice.
What kind of vodka? What's your flavor?
I like Kettle One.
Mm-hmm. Kettle One's good.
That's a nice
little splash of the Red Bull in there.
I like that little Red Bull. Give you that. That give you that jolt.
Yeah.
That gets you right, gets you funny.
So you guys will decide. You guys have...
I can save you some time, man.
A handful.
Oh, no. You save me time and have me doing time at the same time.
You guys have a handful of ideas. You'll narrow it down to one, and then you'll start working on that one movie.
Yeah, either we'll do that or... you know, there'll be more than one, and, you know, one will go off and work on that one, the other one will go off and work on that one, the other one go off and work on that one. We'll come together and see which one makes the most sense and the best one, and then we'll all get together and work on that one that
when this started with the television shows, did you think that you were going to end up one of the great show business dynasty families? I mean, it doesn't sound as grand because of the year, but you're the Warner Brothers, for God's sakes. You're an empire.
Not quite.
Not quite, but you
got the brothers part right.
We would love to get there.
Get that, though. You're an empire.
Not quite. We are a family that is doing it together.
You're beating the bejesus out of the Osmonds.
But these movies have grossed hundreds of millions of dollars.
They had their time. Yes, they did. But
have you broken a billion?
I haven't broken nothing. Oprah made a billion. Warner Brothers made a billion.
The Wayans haven't made a billion yet.
Hell no, but
it's coming. All right, Sean Wayans.
We're working on it, Adam. We're working on it.
It's going to be from your mouth to God's ears. Sean Wayans going to be at the Bray
Improv.
Now, if
I got a billion, you definitely ain't going to see me on no stage. You understand that? Well, or you'll see the craziest act ever. It'll be the Kiss My Ass set.
Bray Improv this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thanks for coming in, Sean. Good luck.
Thank you for having me. What's going on with the whole March Madness thing, you guys?
Are you mad at anything?
Am I mad at anything?
Yeah.
No. I don't really watch the whole basketball thing. But you know what, though? Mm-hmm. You know who I want to see in the March Madness game? Is that little kid, the little autistic kid who hit the three-pointer.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, they need to put him on the Lakers.
Oh, the kid from the high school they put in?
Yeah, he hit 30 three-pointers.
He can't lose.
Yeah.
This dude, they need to put him on the Lakers. Kobe could use this kid.
I want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Autistic, not retarded.
Oh, who knows the difference in this day?
Semantics.
Thank you. What'd you call her? We'll take a quick break.
He's anti-semantic.
Anti-semantic. Hey, that was quick.
We're back with a little, it's not quick if you said it 1,500 times. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with gay walking. How does it work? Well, you remember jaywalking. You go ask questions. We have gay pre-op, board-op Bill going out and asking questions to the gay community. Brian, do we have a tease?
Finish this phrase. Pabst Blue Pap Smear. God, you're so stupid.
What?
Oh, God.
He speaks to the gays. Wow. We gamble on whether they know the answers or not.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. This sounds like a setup. Like y'all trying to set a brother up to make an anti-gay remark, and then I got to go apologize to the gay community. Look, I am not on Greg's Anatomy. Y'all ain't tricking me.
Greg's Anatomy.
You should apologize for that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Gay Walking next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Every straight man should know the answer to. It's gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you've heard of gay walking on the Jay Leno Show, the Tonight Show. This is gay walking. You can do the math. I should warn you that Billy West is coming in here. Hopefully he'll bring his cancer Danny. And for those of you who have not experienced Billy West's cancer Danny, you will be delighted.
I don't get it.
Be prepared. Oh, you're gonna. Be prepared to be blown away and amused, you're gonna laugh so hard your side will ache. Used to sing in the old Felix the Cat song. Thank you, Danny. Nice to have a contemporary in the room. Frank Shamrock, the mixed martial arts champ, is coming in as well. Saw him fight. Saw him get very disqualified, very controversial.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
And we'll talk to him also coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But first, it is time for a little something called gay walking.
Gay walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking.
Well, Teresa is probably 15 out of 17 or 18 in gay walking. I've been doing the worst, though. Danny did win going 5 for 5 last week. T went 4 out of 5. I got $20 that says I can get part of the $40 back I lost the last 3 weeks we played.
Here's my 20
on this game.
All right, I'm in.
And let's get going with the gay walking. Now, again, it's not if we know the answer. Hell, we're not gay.
Yeah.
It's whether they know the answer.
I experimented once.
Yeah, you're on a train. Hey, when in Rome, literally.
Yeah, but when in Greece?
On a bullet train, do as the Pragonese do. Well, Bill, pre-op, board-op. Gay Bill went out. He brought a microphone. Bill?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
I went again to West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
All over on the streets in Santa Monica.
All right. Boulevard. You spoke to exclusively gay men.
Yes. Extremely gay men.
Is it
actually
true you're angry at your gay partner?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes. Well, because Wednesday's trash days and he never takes out the trash. And I pay for everything. And all I ask is simple, tiny little things. Just take a little bit of responsibility around the house. And he uses all my computers.
So
and
why
didn't
tell anybody what you did?
Now, I don't know gay speak, but taking out the trash, is that where another man would reach around?
Tossing out the trash, yeah.
Got it.
So he wouldn't take the trash out, so what did you do?
So his computer's broken right now, and he wants me to buy him a new screen, fat chance. So he's using my computer. So I took the RAM out of my computer. I know he won't know how to put
now
it back
the RAM.
In.
Of course he isn't going to know how to put RAM in. And a homo so, is this.
So you screwed up your computer so he couldn't sit around and play with it all
yes,
day.
I have my laptop with me. He can't use that. But and then my desktops. I have two. I have a bunch of desktops.
Your,
boy, but all,
your boyfriend, I would consider you the... Now, in a gay relationship, there's oftentimes the one that wears the pants.
You're straight. You can say one's the guy, one's the girl.
I'm Butch.
Right.
Yeah.
You're Butch. You're the guy.
Yeah.
You're the earner. He doesn't have a car, does he? He doesn't drive?
No, no. The princess doesn't drive.
So he's a kept princess.
Yes.
Is he this pretty?
He looks like Dave Navarro.
Nice.
Huh. Yeah. So, yeah, he kind of is.
And he's a hairstylist?
No, he is a makeup. He's a makeup artist. Oh. He was actually did a, he did the 70s thing from American Idol last night. He did the makeup for Gina and one of the other fat girls.
I see.
Gina Glossin. Yeah, she looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for fat people take up more makeup. Yeah. That should be charged. That'd be nice.
Square foot.
Look, I'm going to go through a pony keg worth of blush on you, fat ass. So I'm just going to have to be compensated. That'd be a great thing. Tell them to do
gay
that.
Walking.
Oh, yeah. Where were we? Right. All right. Let's start with our first one. Bill hit the streets with his penis in one hand, a microphone in the other, and came back with this.
March Madness refers to what?
March Madness.
Doesn't know.
Do they know? You go no.
Nope.
Now that's weird. I don't think I'd have known till I was working here.
Really?
Yeah, just I don't care. But I'm going to say if he's not trying to be funny, he does know. Unless he's trying to make a joke, he will know.
So my feeling was, yeah, now you recorded this a couple days ago because March Madness is...
Last night.
Last night.
Starts today.
I agree. Some of these guys try to be funny when you put the mic in front of them.
I'm guessing.
It's but when if I go they, crazy on Santa Monica Boulevard.
But if they give a joke answer and then come back with the real one,
that's
it'll
the right
still
answer.
Count.
Hell yes.
God, far be it for me to go against what Teresa Strasser saying. I'm going to go yes. I'm going to say yes. He knows what March Madness
me
is.
Me too.
March Madness refers to what?
Oh, my God. March Madness. For your birthday. Oh, it's my birthday. But I think, honestly, I think it's football.
Damn you gays! Damn you gays. If you think anybody would know anything about balls, it'd be the gays. Round ones, oval ones.
Oh,
big skin.
Let's inbound another gay walking. I'm feeling this.
All right. Tee up one. Danny and Adam down. Here we go.
Where would you find a serpentine belt?
Mm. Oh, wow. That's tough.
I don't even know what it is.
It's in a car.
Oh, yeah. I have one.
He's,
I wear it with those dragon jeans.
I've seen it.
He dazzled his serpentine belt only last night.
Serpentine belt, I'm not kidding.
Serpentine belt is a belt that drives everything, the alternator, the air.
The electrical system.
Yeah, the whole thing in your car, yeah.
He might, though, because I think some gays take very good care of their cars. Yes, Bill?
Teresa, stop being... diplomatic. Is that a queen alive that knows what a serpentine belt is?
Well, don't talk her out of being wrong.
All right, go ahead, T.
I'm so torn. I'm gonna say it's hard because my dad's a mechanic, so it seems like everyone knows this.
Yeah, this is damn mechanic.
I know. He doesn't know it.
Doesn't. All right, Danny.
Doesn't.
I'm going with doesn't 1,000 times over.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Where would you find a serpentine belt?
The new Gucci collection.
Okay, can I just say he and I had the same answer?
All right, T, you are two for two. Danny and I are one and one. Let's keep the party train rolling.
Who is Jeff Gordon?
Oh, I know.
But he does not.
Yeah, but see, I always equate myself with gays on what they would know about man stuff because I don't know any.
Wait.
Yeah. Ooh. Danny is my gay yardstick.
Yeah.
He's the unit of measurement I use against the gays.
See, the only thing I do is no physical sexual contact with men. Anything else, totally gay.
Right.
This is
now,
hard.
See, Jeff Gordon.
He's good looking, right?
Yeah, he's very cute.
I've never gotten this until we had that other guy on our show.
Big name in NASCAR. NASCAR is big.
I'm
go
going
ahead,
no.
T.
No.
You're going no.
He doesn't
they
know.
Don't, they don't know.
Danny? I'm going yes, because I think if I remember, I remember a bunch of girls having a crush on him.
I'm going yes, because it's my only chance to get back
right,
in this game.
So two yeses and a no.
Two yeses and a no. Here we go.
Who is Jeff Gordon? Oh, my God, he's a hot NASCAR race car.
Yes.
NASCAR guy. He's hot.
Again, the same exact answer as me. He's a really cute NASCAR driver.
Are we tied up?
And let me tell you something, Gase. It's back on. I am now officially in love with you guys again. All right. Well, we're all tied up. There's two more to go. Let's go to the next.
What was the setting of the movie Under Siege?
That's tough with sequels.
Yeah, because the second one was a train, but the first one was an aircraft carrier, or no, it was actually a destroyer or frigate or whatever it was.
Are we
going
to accept anything in that realm?
I'll accept anything on a boat or naval vessel.
But you won't accept anything on a train.
No. Well, we said Under Siege. We didn't say one or two. We'll accept. It implies one, because that was Under Siege, but if he said train...
I don't care what he implies, it's what I infer.
What did you infer?
I infer that anything has a Seagal fighting bad guys, and he's still a chef, is Under Siege.
All right, so you will take train or boat.
In my world, but I don't make the rules. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I will agree with you and say we'll accept either one, yes.
So the question is, what is the setting of Under Siege? Can a person just guess at that? Does a submarine count if he says submarine?
No.
Just
boat. What are you doing? Trying to waste time? What about hovercraft? Now, that moves on water and land. Please spit out an answer.
Fan boats from the swamps?
Okay, yes. I'm going to say doesn't know.
Going with doesn't.
I'm going with doesn't just because he's going to think it's a porno. Cable.
I'm going with yes because I'm trying to make a move here. I'm trying to win. I'm in it to win it. Here we go.
What was the setting of the movie Under Siege?
I know this one. Under Siege was about dragons and this one hot actor guy.
No!
Dragons and Middle Ages.
Curse you, Gays!
Had that movie.
Curse you, Gays!
Had that movie star Jean-Claude Van Damme in the exact same movie part, he'd have gotten it.
Thwarted again by the Gays!
But the fat Buddhist wrecked it for the straight guy.
Danny and I take the lead, but you can still tie.
But how do you do that? Oh, I know this one. And then go with this stupid dragon thing.
Thought he knew.
He was thinking about that thing with Sean Connery.
Yes.
What is he even talking about?
What do you care? You know what that guy does in his spare time?
I'm angry because this will be now $60 I've wasted on the games.
You could still win. There's a chance.
All right. So now you and Danny are tied up at 3-1.
Yeah.
I'm back down to 500 at 2-2. We go into our last question.
Come on.
Joe Francis is the creator of what?
Oh, that's hard. My head's exploding.
Yes. What do you think?
Because I think I'm going to say
they're not in the Girls Gone Wild. On the other hand, they're on to the entertainment shows and Paris Hilton and all the hot gossip.
Exactly.
Why is the creator How to Beat You? What's wrong with you?
No, well,
I'm making a yin and a yang argument here.
That's exactly what's in my mind. You would know if you read your Paris Hilton, etc.
Right.
Or if you saw Dateline last week.
He's the creator of Girls Gone Wild, by the way.
I'm going to say that this person does not know.
Does not know.
I don't like that she looked back at Bill before she answered.
Yeah.
No, we don't have any special signals.
A little wink, a little scratch of the head.
He's my good luck gay.
Here's the thing.
Here's what I've learned. Yeah. When Bill, the gay board op, does one amyl popper, that means no.
Right.
Two for yes.
What was your answer?
He doesn't know.
I'm going to go with he knows then. And I don't even remember the question.
I don't either. I'm going to go with he knows. Two, he knows. One, he doesn't. This is for all the bucks.
Come
here
on.
We go. Gay walking.
Joe Francis is the creator of what?
Joe Francis is the creator of Malcolm in the Middle.
Damn you!
I love this game.
Gay walking.
Because you are gay.
Why play gay walking anymore.
I'll be at the Abbey this weekend just thanking you individually.
Great bar.
I love the Abbey.
All right.
If I'd have won, I'd be there and be dazzled and thank each and every one of you too.
Billy,
be a little more helpful.
Billy West, the man who does every voice, including our new favorite, Cancer Danny, is in studio next. Frank Shamrock, mixed martial art champ, in after that. So, we'll look forward to Billy West, master of all voices, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci welcomes back the man of a million voices.
It's Tom Likas was dead on.
It's the Tom Likas Show. We have Pedro in a car phone.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Pedro.
Hey, Tom, you do me a favor, blow my wife up.
Okay, here you go.
Billy West is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Billy West, good. See, I like Likas,
but comedy now.
It scares me once in a while when his minion calls up and they're like,
"Hey, hey, Tom."
Oh yeah. Wait.
You gotta get into Tom.
You gotta have a cup of coffee, but it's full. You know, to get that hollow, right, crappy cell phone, right, sound.
Hey, hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good. Listen, I met this woman at a bar the other night.
Yeah, really? Tell me something I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's where you say to go, and you just, you know, you treat them like, crap, and they'll go with you. But I got, there was this lady, she's a little older than me, she was somebody's mom, and now I have a better phone.
And, in delight of delights, I go home, and, yes, really. Well, get on with this, because this is called radio, and things cool off rather fast, and it's cold out here alone, so help me out. All right, now, this lady, she had a couple of daughters when I get there. So what'd you do? Did you make shish kebab out of the three of them? Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah, Tom, I did just what you said. Really? That's... Well, it worked for you, didn't it? You gotta wind them and dine them and put them in your back pocket and treat them like dirt.
Can you do the laugh?
You know what? The thing is that's like Daffy Duck.
Tom Likas. I may be a coward, but I'm a greedy little coward.
Oh, Billy West. I know you're not a... I know you're not a trained monkey.
Yeah, but it's
what do you mean?
That's why I signed on.
I gotta say, I do love your Howard Stern, and I spoke to Howard Stern last night for almost an hour on the telephone. Yeah, it's sort of surreal because,
as
you may know, when he calls you, he starts off with, "Hey now."
Really?
Yeah, like somebody doing an impersonation of Howard Stern or Ed McMahon.
Why was he calling you?
I called him to tell him I was going to be in New York in a week and a half or a month and a half or something like that. And he just called back like 10 seconds later. I wasn't prepared, but I had a nice radio conversation. And he said he
hook up and observe or something.
Yeah. He said he was happy I wasn't S-canned. And I said mazel tov to him and
he's
the
one of my favorite
satellite
people, but I would gouge my eyes out before I'd sit across the table from him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He freaks me out. Do you know, I had a very good offer to go to work for Sirius, but it turned out he wanted to have meetings daily. And I thought, sitting across the table from Howard Stern daily, why he told me why I sucked.
Plus,
I just couldn't take it.
If you were going to have a meeting, if Bonaducci and Stern were going to get together for a meeting, I feel like there'd need to be a guy who's about 6'1 to work.
Yeah.
Because it'd be, Danny's down at 5'6, he's like 6'9, and be like, "What did Danny say?"
Danny says you're
overmodulating, the mics are too hot. Okay, Danny, what Howard just said, this would be the 6'1 guy.
Right. Sorry, all right, Danny, Howard. It's been a good year. Goodbye.
And then Cancer Danny would say what to Howard?
If you, Howard, I love you, bud.
And then Howard would say,
"What's the matter with that thing? What is that? A cancer kazoo? What is that? A cancer clarinet?"
All right, so let me just reset here.
Yeah.
This is if Danny took the job over at Sirius.
Right?
Cancer Danny had the tracheotomy and would have to meet and do air check tapes with Howard Stern after the show every day.
Howard Stern did offer Danny a job, so this could have happened.
This is what it would sound like.
Well, Danny's a pro. What's the matter? You took out your larynx, right? Where'd you get it done? Oh, I had that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, repeat after me. Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci.
Geez, that thing is distracting as all hell. I'll throw your ass right out of here.
Oh, maybe Danny could do a live read for Heineken.
Heineken, yeah.
Hey, Heineken, it's real good. But you may not be like me.
because I have a liver made of Kevlar. So go enjoy it. I don't drink it. I freeze it and eat it.
That's not a very good cancer clarinet. Oh, I'll do a better one later.
I enjoyed it.
But what if Howard wasn't happy with Cancer Danny's reads?
Everybody got that?
Everybody got that? If I wasn't happy with his reads. All right. Very good. I don't know.
All right. Billy West in the studio. Billy.
That's a big market, that New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That New York.
Yeah, it is. Billy.
Yeah, hell
is,
yeah.
Is,
hella good.
Well, people don't know or may not know that Billy is an Irishman from the Bostonian area.
All my relatives.
We got St. Paddy's coming up.
Ugh.
You looking forward to that?
No.
Why not?
What happened to that kid, the freak, the little one here? Oh, my name is Dick MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from that part of Boston that's sacred, salty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone gets hit by a bus, you run across the street and go, was it a colored?
Right.
Oh, yeah. But this, all this Irish crap, you know, I mean, most of us Irish, you know, I mean, it's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for the Irish. And, oh, Danny boy, the pipes. It's all crap. Born up on A Street, dragged up on B Street. Boston is my hometown. If you're Irish, come into the parlor. Oh, Danny boy. Christ on crutches. I hate that Irish feel-good crap. Oh, man. I mean, I don't hate it. It's just that everybody's trying to be Irish. It's overkill. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You understand.
On St. Paddy's Day, right?
Yeah. And everybody that ain't Irish is out there farting higher than their ass.
Mm.
You know, here's how it really is, my friends. Me yeah. friends.
Uh-huh.
Turn that up. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are those pipes?
Yeah. Scatting Cancer Danny.
River dance. I tried that once. I almost frickin' drowned. All right, here's how it really is.
Hmm.
The Irish, real Irish,
mm-hmm.
us,
right.
we,
right.
Mm-hmm. as opposed to the Italians, them, mm-hmm. those, there.
Uh-huh.
Over there.
Uh-huh.
Real Irish don't say, like, kiss me, I'm Irish. We don't know anything about that stuff. It's suck it, I'm Irish.
Right.
You
right,
know what I mean?
Kiss me, yeah, it's kiss yeah. it.
Kiss right. it, I'm Irish. Right. Yeah, so only real Irish know Gaelic, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we know is, well, when you guys are running around saying, Aaron, go brah, see me falta, you know, and it means what it means. Literal translation in Gaelic, because mm-hmm. I looked it up on the Rosetta Stone.
Mm-hmm.
It means I hope you come back. No, I hope you go for a swim and come back as a stinky dollop of shark crap, you bastard, you.
Wow,
and that's what that means. Know that.
Listen to me, listen. And every retard is out there, the wearing of the green.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's how it really is. If you're really one of the SSOTFS.
What does that stand for?
The Smiling Sons of the Friendly Shillelaghs.
Uh-huh.
Irish foreplay is brace yourself, Bridget. All right, back to real Irish Blanny. Right, you want to be Irish?
Sure.
Here's how it is on St. Patrick's Day. The wearing of the puke.
Uh-huh.
The later scraping off the corned beef and cabbage after it hardens on your shoes there.
Right.
Yeah. Now stay with this, you hammerheads. All right. Now the phoning in the sick on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The subsequent losing the job.
Right.
The booting you out the house at the demand of wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the joining the AA.
Ah.
Nice.
What?
Nice.
What do you nice. Mean,
you say something about my wife?
No, it's
my just sainted
said,
wife.
I said nice.
Said nice. Just said nice.
Oh yeah. Well, you watch it. You know, she got a nice ass, and it's about it. You know, it reminds me. I got to go home and throw one into her.
Hey, it's beautiful.
You know what?
I'm touched.
I'm not married.
Really? I thought you said you had a wife.
No, I ain't been near a woman's body in 8 years.
I'm sorry.
It's rough. You know. I mean, I had to go out there one day. You know. Looking for love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great idea since women don't want me because I'm always drunk. Mm. I got that post, you know, foam. But that's the drama music. Okay, wait. You know, I got naked.
Right.
I get naked.
Mm-hmm.
I admit it. And I went and I smeared some Alpo
mm-hmm. all over my pubes. Mm-hmm. And I went to the park over there on the Boston Green there, Boston Common, mm-hmm. and I laid down, flat on my back, smeared alcohol on my pubes, hoping I could, you know, maybe get a little action from like a dog or something.
Right.
You know.
These are hard times.
Yeah, boy. Maybe a squirrel. Maybe a pigeon. Do you know that a 7-year-old squirrel is as tight as a 2-year-old squirrel?
It's in Billy.
Don't play them sound effects with throw up because I'm on the verge. I'm on the vanguard.
Billy, we need to take a break.
Oh, okay.
It's just unfair.
Frank Shamrock, UFC fighter, is coming in. I don't want you to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, maybe you could sing us out with a little Cancer Danny.
Danny boy.
Sings the oldies. Yeah, like, I don't know if you have anything in mind. Maybe You Are So Beautiful.
I brought a couple of these devices.
You brought a couple?
One of them is like this. The other one is like this.
So that's the loudest one.
Yeah, I like the second one the best.
Oh, Danny boy. The pipes are calling. And out of the grid, happy sweet nothing.
Frank Shamrock in next. Billy,
what are you looking at?
It's not going anywhere.
This thing ain't going to suck itself. Don't stand over there doing nothing.
I sure as hell hope Frank Shamrock doesn't square off with Cancer Danny in a war of words. Uh-oh. Because I would not want to hear that on the radio.
I'm crapping my pants already with glee.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
We've waited years to see this. The return of Frank Shamrock. Starts now.
And now the International Fighting League's Frank Shamrock on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I saw him fight on Showtime about a month and a half ago with the Elite XC fight where he was DQ'd, disqualified.
Yeah, I have so many issues with that.
A knee to the back of the head. Now there's gouging and biting and all that. This seemed like good strategy. He had Renzo Gracie had him sort of tied up. They were on the mat. He was Frank was winning the fight. I wouldn't say dominating, but I would say winning the fight, and looked like you were going to go on to win the fight. He flung his knee up and kneed him in the back of the head, but you were on your back when you did that, right? You have to be very flexible to get your knee to create a hammer-like effect on a guy who's got you in a bear hug on the ground while you're on your back. He knocked him out with his knee. So what happened with that, and how did it all end up?
Well, I got disqualified, so I lost. But that was pretty bizarre. And,
Is that a rule that they didn't have in the UFC?
Well, you know, Danny, back in the day, I mean, God, as long as you weren't, like, pulling the guy's eyeball out of your fingers.
That's what I said. You weren't biting him, you weren't eye gouging. That was it. It was the only real fight you're ever going to see.
So, I mean, I know times have changed, and we've evolved and all that stuff, but...
Well, then it's going to evolve back to boxing.
But when you kneed him in the head, did you know it was an illegal move at the time?
No, of course not. No. I would never, ever break the rules. I don't do that. You know, I like to win the game. But, I mean, I threw the same knee. This is what's frustrating for me. I threw the same knee about 50 times.
Yeah.
Right. I landed, you know, 50 of them in the side of his ribs, and then one of them hit him on the side of the head, and all of a sudden I was DQ'd.
Oh, forget about mixed martial arts. He's throwing the knee in the classroom. He's throwing it on municipal buses, the wife, the kids. He throws the knee all the time. He threw it at Angie on the way in.
Do you know what? The first thing I noticed, though, is that you are disarmingly charming looking.
That's my strength.
I thought that I'd be kind of a little bit afraid when you walked in. What might he do? He's a really dangerous man. We have a really affable smile and a nice light air about you.
Yeah.
Do people mistake you for being dangerous all the time?
Well, people have a preconceived notion of how violent I'm going to be.
Right.
Because they think that in order to fight, you have to be this big, angry, violent, mean person. So
no, you just turn it on like a switch. Like a postal employee that snaps. When everyone says the neighbor's talking about he was quiet, he kept to himself, he was the best neighbor, and then one day he gets a hunting rifle and he gets on the roof of the house.
Shamrock, you teach actually little kids.
I do. I teach everybody martial arts, but we started them at 2 years old.
Where?
In San Jose. I got a big school in San Jose, the Shamrock Martial Arts Academy. But we teach them from 2 to, I think my old student is 67 right now.
Now, Ken is the, I should say Frank is the younger brother of Ken Shamrock, yep. but adopted brother, yeah, which I was surprised to hear.
There's no real Shamrocks. We're all adopted.
It's amazing. They're both physical specimens. Yeah. And when you see that Ken Shamrock and Frank Shamrock share the same name, you think, well, that's a pretty good genetic hand.
Right.
I'd like to meet Papa. I'd like to milk Papa and get some of those genes, actually. But then you realize you were adopted.
Yeah. I mean, you should definitely, statistically speaking, you should get a Felix and an Oscar.
Yeah.
Right.
And you got two Oscars.
Well, Bob, our adopted dad was, you know, I like to call him a genetic scientist.
He adopted both of you.
He was like, yeah, this one's got a really good build and a solid head.
And started
let's get him.
Start putting, like, creatine in your bottle.
When we were babies, huh?
Because it is amazing when you see these guys with their shirts off. Ken probably a weight class heavier than Frank, but still they're both, like, 5%, 4% body fat, and for guys who wrestle and fight, that's you look like bodybuilders more than you look like fighters until...
And that's real hard to maintain.
Until the knee starts flying. As a matter of fact, Frank lets his knee do his talking. Frank, what? Billy West, if Frank's knee could talk, what would Frank's knee sound like?
Stop kicking me.
Sounds like Deputy Dog.
I'm the weak spot of the body, so lay off.
But you're a
that makes me mad. Yes, it does.
You're a dangerous weapon.
Me?
Yes, you should be
wearing
proud.
Wearing dead with that knee?
You
all
should
the things
be,
I can do with that naughty hole.
You should be banned in 50 states. You're an animal.
My knee is a used stink toy.
Frank,
ladies and gentlemen.
Frank Shamrock is in studio, mixed up martial arts. We're going to give a plug to his team. Now, how does the team mixed martial arts work? I saw a little bit of it on television the other day, but I didn't exactly watch the whole thing. So fill us in.
Well, it's a different concept. We're on FSN right now on My Network TV, so a lot of local shows coming out. But it's a five-man team concept.
Mm-hmm.
So all the big stars of MMA basically got their own teams, all the superstars.
Right.
And then we have our five-man teams compete against each other.
Now, does Ken have a team,
Ken has
too?
A team
and you'll compete against his
I'm
team?
Fighting, and I'm fighting Boss Rutan's team on Saturday night.
Another
Boss
big
Rutan's
name.
Local here.
And you guys have five different weight classes who go against the five different weight classes.
Yep.
And so then, eventually some team, how many teams are there?
There are 16 teams, I believe, this
and you represent different cities or different...
We do. Yeah, we're San Jose Razor Claws.
Right.
So, Razor Claws?
Razor Claws.
One of the few things you can't actually do.
Do you have any women on your team?
No, it's an all-male league right now. But we've had a lot of requests, and you know, the women are really hot in fighting right now.
Hold on. Frank Shamrock's knee, what do you think about no women inside of the octagon?
No women, but where are they, though? Where did you say they were? In their own league?
Did you focus on hitting opponents in the head, Ken? Frank Shamrock's knee.
Appropriate, but do any of those women take it in the seat?
God, Frank, your knee is really...
The knee is terrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Knee.
Yes.
We're going to have him DQ him.
You know, I feel that in a way, and on a personal level and a sports level, I'm a huge fan of boxing. But like Sugar Ray Leonard and the real Sugar Ray, people like that, they were just gorgeous. And you think of them as these wonderful athletes, and your average mixed martial arts guy would just kill them. They'd just get a hold of something, and that would be the end of it. I happen to be a third-degree black belt. It's one of the few things I've stuck with my whole life. I'm the Jake LaMotta of karate. I make him look graceful. And all I see is with, 25 years of practice, I throw anything, a kick, a punch, whatever, and you touch me, and I'm done, right?
Well, I mean, for the most part. But that's, you know...
It's the submission holds that are absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's submission and it's throw and it's wrestling. And what's unique about martial arts in the United States is we didn't get going until the 40s when the arts came over from the wars, basically. So the martial arts that we got is very young. It's 60 years old. And it's very, antiquated because that martial art was very old when it came to us.
Well, the thing is, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Because, if they say it was made in Japan, Korea, wherever, or China, those people, and this is just, I'm being deadly serious, are approximately the same size and weight.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Kung Fu works against Kung Fu when both of you weigh 125 pounds. But if I get up at 165 pounds and try and be fancy on a 250-pound man, I'm going to get my ass handed to me, third-degree black belt or not. These all martial arts fighters, you can take on guys of all sorts of different sizes and still win, correct?
Yes, because that's our art.
Right.
And most people get an art that's used for something else.
Right.
And then they bend that art for fighting. Our art is for nothing more than to fight and entertain people.
Well, especially, I mean, a guy who was a submission expert who weighed 135 pounds could take down a 300-pound
right.
guy
exactly.
just the same way a taser that weighed 8 ounces could take out a 300-pound
right?
guy.
Because the physics of my little fist would not yeah. knock down a large man.
You have to get to him, and then you start choking him out, and it doesn't matter if you weigh 300 pounds, your neck weighs 2 pounds, and that's the part the guy's choking.
And getting to him is the most dangerous part. You yes. got to go towards him to get to him, and you're dead then.
What's beautiful about the art is you can be a person of small stature. You can be a 100-pound person, and you can create dynamic energy that can destroy people.
You know what's funny about mixed martial artist Frank Shamrock as he speaks so eloquently about the art? The last time I saw him, he was in his underpants kneeing a guy in his head.
Now that was art, though, Adam.
And it should be pointed out that although it's a very short-term experiment, there are a lot less permanent injuries from mixed martial arts than from boxing.
You don't, unless Frank's knee hits you, you don't take a lot of head trauma.
Yeah, Frank's face doesn't look like it's ever been punched or hit.
No, that
I got hit once.
Once.
I got hit once, yeah.
What happened then?
Well, then I moved my head out of the way.
We're running out of time, but quickly, as promised, I think it would be funny if Frank Shamrock and our own Cancer Danny squared off in a war of words. Now, you know, it's a fight, but it's also entertainment.
Right.
You got to hype the fight.
Trash talking,
Yeah, sometimes, like, let's just say third degree black belt Cancer Danny was going to meet Frank Shamrock. Rock in the ring.
Well, he has to do all the trash talking because this I'll drive the show off a cliff if I start shouting and with the
what would you say if an opponent got in your face at a press conference? Said he was going to take you down.
You suck, sucker. I'd pop that battery right out. That would be it.
Still going. Hold on, Cancer Danny, are you going to take that?
No, I ain't going to take it. Damn, bless you, damn balloon.
He called you a puss, Frank. Yeah, are you going to take that?
I am not taking that. I'm looking for the plug.
You're what they call
it. He's trying to say ass bunny.
Ass bunny, give me another battery. I have cancer. I will kill you. I'll knock you through the wall.
Frank, Cancer Danny told me before the show he was going to take out your adopted and biological family. What do you think of that?
I got something for Cancer Danny, though.
Yeah, what?
I got a little something for him.
I'm putting
deep batteries in that thing.
Give him the knee.
Give the knee of death.
I'll give you the submission hold. It sounds very gay. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, is there a Shamrock that actually has a patented move called the Shamrock Shake?
I don't know. Damn, I know there's a guy in pro wrestling.
Shut up,
Cancer Danny! You hear that?
Cancer Danny actually smokes in the octagon, yes?
Yes, I can't get it. Only a dream until now.
Something to drink you out of me,
Paul. Right there, Cancer Danny, future Danny.
For War of the Kazoo. Frank Shamrock. International Fight League, IFL. San Jose Razor Claws versus Los Angeles Anacondas this Saturday, St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patty's Day.
Be there.
At the Great Western Forum.
At the Great Western Forum. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. Also, Billy West. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming out. Did you do Cancer Danny as one of the turtles?
Well, that'd be great.
A cancer turtle?
Yeah, to get in a position and go,
fire.
Fire. Billy West in theaters March 23rd.
That's right, you idiot.
Did you take over for that heroin using Corey Feldman?
Oh, yeah. You know the difference between me and him is I can act.
Cancer Danny, would you like to send it to commercial? We're going to have Teresa Strasser in the news coming up, and then we'll just toss it to commercial. Would you like to do that?
Yes. Coming up very shortly is Teresa Strasser. Oh, baby. You got a body that won't quit. He's going to do some news and all that stuff. And this is Free FM, and I'm Cancer Danny.
Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
A New York restaurant is offering patrons a swanky new pizza as long as they're willing to pay $1,000. The delicacy comes with 6 gourmet toppings, including 4 different types of caviar, lobster, and a top-of-the-line cheese. You can have the pizza delivered, but if it doesn't arrive in 30 minutes, you don't get it for free.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I got to say, I saw the news tease. It's a $10,000 pizza or whatever it was. And I thought, please do not put a diamond on a regular pizza because I go insane and my wife's going to kill herself every time they do that. Next up, a $20,000 martini. You take a $4 martini and you drop a $20,000 diamond in this. We do it with bras now,
yes,
too.
Yes, shoes.
It's a $5 million Victoria's Secret. And I think to myself, this bra must be the size of Montana.
Well, that might
How
be
How many
worth.
Boobies could... Yeah, but
if it's on a Victoria's Secret model and you get it off her...
Well, maybe.
Then you're
I'm
talking.
Just saying... I have a rusted out Chevy Vega up on blocks in my backyard. If I take a $20,000 diamond and throw it in the glove box, it doesn't make it a $20,000 automobile.
Plus,
it's
Ray
cheating.
Still won't come and get it.
Yes.
Because he doesn't really want it in his heart.
If Molly drops a number 2 in the backyard and I roll it in diamonds, it's not a $2 million dookie. Oh, maybe it is. T.
Yes.
Birthday's coming up.
I'll look forward to that.
All right. What is going on in the news, baby dog?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he is the suspected mastermind behind the 9/11 terror attacks. He's now admitted to those attacks and numerous others, this during a military hearing over the weekend. A transcript has been released, and he has said that he's not sorry. He did, however, express remorse for the death of the children who died in the 9/11 attacks.
He should express remorse for that picture of his hairy ass being dragged out of
his
futon.
Her suit.
It
yes.
is the worst picture I've ever seen of a human being in my life.
It is.
I would
quite
like him, even if they found him innocent of all charges, I'd like him put down just
for
the
that.
Way he looks in the morning. Could you imagine? I bet you that guy, ironically, had 5 wives.
Right,
not one,
right.
But he probably had 5. And can you imagine waking up next to that every morning, T? Just
awful.
You'd have to get one of those like air sick bags just to heave into.
Maybe that's just a bad photo of a bad man.
I'm sure he cleans up quite nicely.
How long do you have to go without a man till you say that guy can clean up nicely?
Seems like a red flag, doesn't it? Things aren't going well for me.
If he apologized for the dead kid, so yeah, you know, and he cleans up.
You know. Yeah,
you'd be the other, like, if you were married to him, you're an, there's a good show, Al-Qaeda Wives.
Yes, like the wives of Orange County.
Yeah, if you're married, you'd be the only one, like, you'd be the only guy begging the husband to take on a few more wives. You'd be like, you know, Ahmad and Amir, they have 5 wives, you only have 2.
How about a few more?
How about a few more? Come on, let's thin the herd a little bit. You deserve it.
And once you'd be a hairdresser, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Hairdresser. And a waxer.
Right.
Pete Rose, banned from baseball for life. Now, you remember back in 2004, he put out a book, and he finally admitted to betting on baseball, which everyone sort of already knew he had done. But he finally admitted to it when he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds.
Kimmel was banned from wiffle ball for life.
Really? He bet on his own team?
Man, he corked his bat. It's ugly. I don't want to get into
That's
it.
That's unpleasant. Well, here, Pete Rose yesterday was talking to ESPN's Dan Patrick, and he explained that not only did he bet on his own team, he did it a lot.
I think it's been documented, Keith, that I bet on my team every night.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't bet on my team 4 nights a week. So I wasn't sending a single out to the people. I'm not going to use my closer on Friday night or Saturday night. And I was wrong, okay?
So his argument was, I bet every night.
Because he loves his own team.
Right. So if he was betting periodically, you'd go, why didn't he bet on his team to win Friday?
Right.
I'm not going to bet on them
right.
because he knows something.
Adam and I are going to fist fight Monday through Thursday, and the odds are okay, and blah, blah, blah. But on Friday, he puts you in against Adam. Right. Why? Because that one's a sure bet. That's the way I get it. And even I don't understand sports at all.
He's defending his gambling on his
by
team.
By saying I do it always.
By saying all
I
did the time. All the time. Not when he knew the pitcher didn't have any stuff or whatever.
And is it, I don't know, why do we always pretend like there's, why do we make sports more than what it is? Why do we always have it? It has to stand for this, and these guys are role models and they're heroes. Athletes, first off, are amongst the dumbest people on the planet. Now, if you want to make your role models in society the dumbest people on the planet, be my guest. If you ever sit down and talk to these guys, they're borderline retarded.
Right.
I mean, you want to know why these interviews are just chock full of cliches. That's all they can spit out.
Right now, we're not looking ahead to the next team. We're playing it one game at a time. We're not.
Yes,
these guys are idiots. And Pete Rose is as dumb as any of them. Now, gambling, is it? Is it inherently bad? I don't know. I passed a couple of Super Lotto billboards on the way in. I'm guessing the man put those up. So is it wrong or isn't it? I mean, which is it? And if you're gambling on yourself or your team or your ability to win, then who really cares?
Well, the point is, though, you're also taking the word of a guy who admittedly broke the rules. So now he's just saying what rules he broke and then betting every night. It doesn't necessarily make it true.
Yeah, all I'm saying is if you want to hold Barry Bonds out because he was juicing and maybe that gave him an unfair advantage, so be it. This guy got 3,000 hits and then he started gambling. Let him in with his 3,000 hits. I'm not interested in the politics part. He's a jackass. I'm sure everyone thinks Pete Rose is a jackass. Fine. He's a jackass who got 3,000 hits.
Right.
Yes. Now, Britney Spears is off the juice, and by that I mean the gin and juice. As you know, she's in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some news coming out about what's going on in rehab, and maybe, you know, Danny will shed some light on this.
You
apparently,
know, I
yes.
love being the expert. You know what I'm doing with my day-to-day?
What?
Paula's on. And they didn't even bother to tell me what the subject is, because I guess they assume I'll know.
You're doing
I'm going
Paula's
on CNN.
Oh,
she's hot. Have you seen her play the cello?
And
I love Paula's
on. They just said, can you be there? And I said, yeah. They said, okay, bye. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Danny, so she's in the Promises, the
yes,
rehab, where I believe you've been.
Maybe. I'm not supposed to say.
And here's some.
But I don't promise.
Let me just put it this way. They took the plaque off the smokehouse.
And put it in Promises.
They put it in Danny's room.
Yes.
That's where it ended. That's why they had to remove
mystery
it.
Mystery solved.
Yeah, that's right. The Partridge Room.
Now, I don't know. This seems like something that's sort of not surprising after having kicked the booze. According to TMZ.com, she's drinking up to a case of Coca-Cola a day.
Yeah,
in rehab.
Not uncommon to replace. Usually it's food, though.
Like a great big fat person.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to any AA meeting, there's just chain smoking and guys
gum
drinking pots of coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, here's another
thing.
But
the thing is, wait, she's in a rehab. What would make you possibly say now that she's kicked the booze? I've been kicking the booze for 15 years.
Well, today
is not
drinking. Yeah, I mean, I would assume, and Danny, you tell me what you think about this, but while you're in jail, it's not like you're no longer a criminal. You're
right
in jail. Once you're let out, if you don't commit any crimes, then we'll announce you're reformed.
At this certain rehab that I promised not to talk about,
right.
They would take us on Wednesdays to a meeting by bus that would pass Duke's Beach Bar.
Right.
The last civilized bar in the world because you can smoke because it's outside.
Right.
A drink in one hand and a stog in the other.
Wow.
And they drove us past it twice a night every Wednesday night. And $40,000 later, I hopped in my car and I drove straight to Duke's and had a drink.
That's right.
So I don't necessarily mean she's... I don't think she's necessarily off the juice just because she's a rehab.
Well... like you said, they will take you to outside AA meetings, probably to get you in the habit of what you'll be doing when you get out of rehab. And apparently she met a guy there, a guitarist from a band called Riva, a 33-year-old. And some, yeah, I never heard of them either. But apparently they've bonded, as I'm sure people in rehab do.
Actually, there's huge rules against that.
There are rules against it, but it seems like people do it. And he told TMZ.com, I love her, I support her 100%, and we are close. They have nicknames for each other. He calls her Sugar, Kitten, and My Lady.
And she calls him my freeloading drunk bastard.
Exactly.
Oh, no, that was Kevin.
Exactly. She calls him my secret underground guy. Not sure what that's all about. But here's happy news for old people.
That was happy news for me.
Let me, happy news for old people. There is a brothel.
It's going to be, I'll tell you the bad news is, you know, 10 years from now, these guys will be together for 6 weeks.
Sure.
And then 10 years from now, he'll be sitting around with his buddies and he'll go, by the way, guess who the only guy in this room who's nailed Britney Spears is? Moi. And then another one of his buddies that knows the story will shout out, was it hot school age girl miniskirt ponytails, Britney, or fat, bald, strung out Britney? Tell them. Tell them which one it is.
Still counts, though,
it does count. If you bone Britney, you get to tell them how she could blow up to be Mama Cass, and you still bone Britney.
But people will want to know if you got bald, fat one, or...
It's Elvis. Yes. It's the same thing as Elvis.
A Rolling Stone cover one.
Here's the thing for me. Here's what I see in 10 years. This guy sitting around with his buddies and say, if you're boned Britney Spears, raise your hand. And they all do.
And yes, hands go up.
I thought it might go that way, too.
Dog raises its paw sheepishly.
Well, on the boning tip.
Dog does it sheepishly.
Interesting. You didn't think dogs could do things sheepishly.
No, they can.
And sheeps can be lazy as dogs.
Sure. They can sleep like dogs.
They sleep like dogs.
They can lie like dogs.
Over your eyes.
Yeah. In Germany, there's a brothel in Cologne. And they realized that the afternoon shifts were very slow at this brothel because most men are working. So they decided, let's play to the retiree crowd. And they started advertising half off of all brothel services in the afternoon for people over 66 one day a week. And it was so successful.
It's like what Denny's does with the menu.
Yes,
you know, the entrees
exactly.
Between 4 and 6 p.m. are half price.
But this is actually a late bird. A late bird special.
Yes, right. a normal special broth, whatever they offer there, sex, I suppose,
yes.
Costs $66. But if you're a senior in the afternoon... It's $33. So that's not a bad deal.
I'd like the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Hummer, please.
Or the Grand Slam is always good.
It's got to be nice for the crowd that puts in a full day of work and then goes to the brothel and it's like getting down with the chick and it's like, I smell mothballs and Grecian formula. What is up? Yeah, Grandpa just finished. You mean Grandpa? No, I mean your grandfather. I don't mean Grandpa, like metaphorically. Like, oh, I mean, oh, there he is.
Lastly, I should...
Helmet! Good, yes. Wait in the car.
Lastly, I should mention that Brandon...
He's got a stroke. When you see a stroke cane parked out front of the room...
Not good.
And when they're offering stroke canes as something they do as a special, also something a little off.
What is the stroke cane?
This is special kind of...
Let me explain. Oh.
There you go. That's it.
Okay.
You want to know what a real stroke cane is?
No. I was in sex terms. I know what the real one is.
But it strikes me, and I know you have your last story to get to. Maybe a lot of people listening don't know what a stroke cane is. Stroke cane, for those of you who don't know, is a cane that has the four little legs on it.
Right.
It's the cane that stands up by itself.
Yeah. To help you walk.
That's right. Go ahead, baby doll.
I've been whacked by one of those after my dad had a stroke.
Really? He hit you with it?
I've been caned by a stroke cane.
Wow, that's good.
I was just going to say, in closing, in case you hadn't heard, that Brandon Rogers was eliminated from American Idol last night. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, speaking of CNN, I was watching it this morning, as I do over my soft-boiled eggs and toast, and I saw a story...
That Lynette cooks you.
Right. Right. She dreams because she's entering her third stage of REM as I'm cooking my own goddamn breakfast every morning. Yes, she probably dreams about it, but that's all right.
Marsh Madness.
So my dog Molly will come downstairs. If I eat a cold breakfast, I will not get my dog Molly. If I eat cereal, I can't get Molly off the bed. But if I fire up the burner and get a little scrambled egg going, Molly will come trotting down. Always like she wanted to see me. She walks in the room. Hey, boss.
Your dog's playing coy with you?
Yes, and I'm like, Molly, what are you doing up at 4:45? Just wanted to come down, check it out, see if you need any. You're cooking eggs.
Coincidence.
Protein is being consumed in this house. Wow.
You know how odd it is that Molly sounds so much like Hulhauser?
So you and Molly were watching CNN.
Yes, it's amazing. And then as soon as she gets her fill egg, she trots right back upstairs and jumps onto my wife's lifeless corpse and rides out another, what I imagine be 8 to 12 hours before I come home. Point is, I'm watching CNN this morning, and they're talking about this 13-year-old who goes on a crime spree. Well, let's hear the CNN clip.
13-year-old Andrew Riley is facing 128 felony charges. Nelsonville, Ohio police have charged the seventh grader with burglary.
We'll hear the rest of it when we come back. But you is a 13-year-old. This guy's on a crime spree. We'll get to hear his mom, his delightful mom, chime in. And I want to know, what do you do with these kids?
What do we do
as a society? What do you want us to do? I know what to do, but I don't think that anyone wants to admit it. And I don't know if they will, and I want to hear from you.
But I heard you talk about sterilizing a woman who still had a knife stuck in her chest. You, sir, are a little harsh.
Thank you. 866-901-ADAM. Let's hear how harsh you can be. We'll play the rest of the story. But you tell me, what do we do with these kids? And more importantly, what do we do with their parents that keep crapping them out, destroying our society? 866-901-ADAM. We'll play you the rest of that, and we'll hear from you next.
Everybody, this is Art Alexakis from the band Everclear. And when we're not, you know, talking about how horrible our childhoods were, we like to enjoy the Adam Carolla Show.
I miss that, Art. It's a good guy. All right. We were talking about a story I saw on CNN this morning. Well, my dog Molly was pretending like she liked me so she could get to my eggs.
Did you give her any eggs?
She puts her chin on my knee and then looks at me in those big brown eyes, and I have to give her stuff, even though she's morbidly obese.
She is not.
And, you know, my thing is, like, I like a fat dog.
I'm not going to apologize.
Yeah. I mean, my wife's always like, Molly's going to die. I said, so what? We'll get another dog. Yeah. I'll get a fat dog. I don't care if the thing lives 9 months at a time. I'll get a new fat. I'll fatten it up. I'll do it like they do in Europe with the geese, you know, so I can eat their liver.
This is a perfect lead into bad parenting.
Yeah, that's right.
The fact that my dog has no eggs.
Here's the story I saw, or one of the stories I saw that caught my attention this morning on CNN.
13-year-old Andrew Riley is facing 128 felony charges. Nelsonville, Ohio police have charged the seventh grader with burglary, theft, vandalism, and witness intimidation. Still, the boy's mother says she doubts her son is responsible for everything he's charged with.
I'm not denying that he was guilty of some of it, possibly. There's no way he did all this stuff for the last year and a half.
Because he was away at yeshiva.
Yeah, first off, I owe every community an apology, because when they said this 13-year-old has 120, I thought, what race is this kid? What could he be? And then it came up, white trash.
Yep.
And I thought, man.
That had to be a contender.
Oh, it's always up there. White trash is always up there. It wasn't the top of the list.
No, on your big crimes, it's almost always whitey.
Your serial killers are whitey.
35 grand, we do the important crime.
There's no doubt we still hold that crown. Point is,
white guy over 35 making over 50 grand a year hardly ever tags.
Right.
Yeah.
This kid is from a serious white trash family. The mom defended him by saying, 138 felony convictions. It's probably in the low 60s.
he's in seventh grade.
Yeah.
It's the Pete Rose example, I bet, every night.
When you hear mom sort of making excuses for a kid who has over 100 felony convictions, you think, wow, starting to begin where some of the problem, I can see where the problem starts.
Yeah.
And then I start thinking, when are we going to hold these parents responsible? Now, they do that thing where they go, hey, man, I got six kids and I got no old man and I got no income. I can't control this kid. Fine. You have a house with a low fence and the Rottweiler gets over it and bites the mailman every day. Well, whose fault is it? Who do we hold accountable? Maybe, perhaps, if you live on a house with a 3-foot fence, you shouldn't have a 200-pound dog that can leap it. Maybe that's it. Maybe we should get hold of you. And we have rules for everything. For the love of Christ, if you want a llama, you can't have one. Why? Well, that's the society we're living in. You're not zoned for it. But you're zoned. Your crotch is zoned for as many little demon seeds as you want to crap out. And if somebody said, perhaps this bitch should quit crapping out kids, she already has a 13-year-old with 126 or 128 felonies on his dance card, and God knows how many other kids are already at home.
Right.
If somebody said, I think she's lost the right to have kids, then some guy from the ACLU would step up and go, oh, no. And then somebody would start talking about Hitler, and this is how it got started. Are you people that stupid? Are you that naive? Do you subscribe to the slippery slope thing to the point where... And this is how it always goes. Okay, right now, we have a single mom. She's strung out on crack. She has a 13-year-old who's out of control, is wreaking havoc on society. But if we stop her from having another kid, then what's to stop Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie from adopting a Laotian kid who's underprivileged? What's to stop Teresa Strasser? One day, God willing, she'll meet a man of her dreams, and they'll decide to have a family.
No!
But what's to stop the jackbooted thugs from breaking into the house and forcing an IUD in Teresa Strasser because they made the rules?
Right.
Do people believe in that? This society is going to be undone by unwanted children.
I think secretly many people agree with you, Adam, that certain women should be sterilized. They might not admit it like you do, but I think some people would agree.
Well, I think some people, such as myself, think that's a big waste of time. They should just be shot in the head.
Right.
But I also agree with the slippery slope guy a lot of times. You start chipping away at your rights, and you don't know where you end up. I believe it was Michelangelo, though it doesn't sound like it. How do you carve? And he said, I take a block, and I chip away everything that doesn't look like an elephant.
Right.
And that's how he makes an elephant. You start chipping away at the fabric of our freedoms, and you don't know where you end up.
But
I think this woman, shoot her in the head, I'm fine.
But here's how I know where we stop with the slippery
slope. Okay, that's what I want to know.
Here's how I know. When it stops making sense. When people say, hey, should safe and legal abortions be able to? Yes. How about guys breaking into your house and forcibly aborting your young child? Well, no that doesn't make sense.
Right.
See, it's easy. When it stops making sense, that's where it stops. Now, there's all this stuff where, well, if physician-assisted suicide is fine for someone who's terminally ill, what's to stop them from snuffing out healthy people? It doesn't make sense, and that's where it ends. And that's the way it goes. And I know everyone is always crying wolf over this, but you know what? Think about it. Does it ever happen? It's always, oh, the Patriot Act. Oh, if abortion's legal. Oh, if they sell this. Oh, if they do that. Oh, if they legalize this. There are these drugs that are formally you get from a doctor's prescription, and then once in a while they make them over the counter 5 years later.
Yeah.
Does it hurt? Does anyone OD on them? Does it change anything? All the things we're scared of happening all the time. Does it ever happen? It doesn't seem to happen. I'm just saying the mother is the nest. The kid, that's a little cockroach, but you go after the nest. Sure, you take a slipper and you smash the cockroach, and then you go looking for the nest. The mom that doesn't give a crap, that's the nest. Matt?
Yo, what's up, Adam?
How say you, my brother?
I'm doing just fine. Okay, I work in social services with all the kids that get into the system because their parents, you know, like to use them as a punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't understand the concept when their little, you know, three-year-old is crying, you don't shake it to death.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing. When you turn on the news and you see the camera from the school bus where the chick is beating the holy snot out of the other chick, well, I wonder where she learned that behavior.
Exactly.
I wonder who beat the snot out of her. And then, by the way, doesn't that make you a criminal?
Exactly.
You've created in your horrible lab, although it's a one-bedroom apartment, you've created a monster, and then you've unleashed it, and that monster's now balled her hand up into a fist and is beating on the head of my child,
right,
who is not a monster, because I created someone and told them not to punch strangers.
Here's where my slippery slope with you lies, then.
I would love to see just a test that the people have to take, you know, to procreate. Any schlub can go out, you know, and screw anybody and have a kid. You know, a little simple test, have some fractions on there, maybe some multiple choice questions.
I know, but a slippery slope. Again, yes, like, right, because if somebody said, look, you need rules to drive a car, how about rules to have children? Now we're into some apocalyptic Orwellian Hitler future.
Keanu Reeves said that.
That's what everybody does. That soon as you, the second you bring that up, someone will bring Hitler up a second later.
But here's your problem, as I see it. You're under the impression that you're the majority. And you're not. She is.
I know.
So she's the one in charge of who we sterilize and who we put away. Well, that well, beast, we, that animal
I agree.
Is 60% of the population, and you're the top five.
Well, here's the problem.
So you're going to lose fast.
We need to take a break. We'll keep this going. We'll take your calls. She wasn't the majority 25 to 50 years ago.
Right.
Now, because of breeding, she is the majority.
Right.
They're at 60%. You people want it at 80% is what I'm asking. I don't. I'm moving to Canada with Bonaducci. We'll take a quick break.
Don't leave me here.
You're staying. Someone's got to hold down the fort. Hold down the fort.
Okay.
Fort blows away. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, bouncers.
Don't be afraid to grease the bouncer's palm on the way in. Not only is it polite, but it's in your best interest. It may save you from getting beaten too hard after you get loaded and grab the stripper's ass.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're picking up where we left off, and this time we're talking to you. I was watching CNN this morning. Saw a 13-year-old kid with 128 felony convictions. Who do we blame? Where do we start? Christina.
Hello.
How say you?
I just want to say I completely agree with you 100%. I've said for years that I believe that if someone's receiving assistance, that why are they creating more children? It should be mandatory that they are on birth control.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. When my feeling is your employer gets to tell you what to do. You don't go in and go, hand me a paycheck, and he goes, fine, unload those crates, and you go, screw you. You're not my boss. Yeah, anyone who hands you a check gets to tell you what to do. Welfare's the only thing where we hand you a check, but we don't get to tell you what to do. Well, why not? Everyone else goes to work. Ironically, all the people that are pooling their tax money and giving you that welfare check are being told what to do by their boss who pays them all day. So here's your welfare check. Here's what we'd like you to do. Like you to not do drugs and not get pregnant.
Yeah, blood test every month while you're on the dole.
There you go. That's right. And look, everybody, as far as this society goes, we like to pretend like everyone's got the same chance and everyone presents the same set of problems. Oh, the rich guy or the well-educated guy is just as good a chance as being a criminal or whatever. Here's the reality. There's a certain segment of our society that is responsible for about 90% of the problems. Homeless, drug abuse, almost everyone in prison. It's a small segment of society. It's unwanted kids. I used to say all the time, I don't have to worry. Dr. Drew has three kids. Do you think we need to worry about them as a society? No, they'll be loved, they'll be nurtured, they'll be educated, and they'll go out and pay taxes.
I'll worry about them in dinner conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Aside from that.
But you're not going to worry about them
stealing the silverware.
Yes. We could have a society where everyone slept with their doors open on hot nights and nobody ever locked their cars. There were no alarms and no nothing. Why? Nobody would ever steal. We would be in a utopia. Oh, wait a minute. There's one 13-year-old. He has 128 felony convictions. I guess we should worry about him. Let's see. Let's talk to Ron. Ron, what do you think, my brother?
Hey, Ron. Hey, Dave. I'm just giving you a quick call, man. I had an idea, and forgive me. I just hopped on a forklift, going to go load a car. So,
all right.
I'm in Portland, Oregon, by the way. People have to get approved for credit, right?
Right.
If you want a loan, you got to get credit. Why not? In some certain states, you have it where you've got to have a certain amount of income per kid. Like, let's say one kid, $20,000 is what you got to make per year. You want two kids? Well, you got to make at least $40,000 so you can support them. You want three kids, you got to make at least $60,000
to support them. Well, Ron, that makes sense now, but wait till the man gets involved.
Right.
And
oh,
jackbooted thugs are kicking in your front door and hollowing out your piggy bank.
Yeah.
And because you don't make $10 million a year, or worse, they start doing it ethnically. Well, right. Whitey can make $5,000 a year, but Mexicans, they got to make, this is all going to happen. This is exactly how it's all going to go down. Of course it makes sense. If you can't support a kid, you shouldn't have a kid. It's an easy equation. Look, you can't rent an apartment without somebody checking whether you can afford it
or not.
Can't
get a cell phone.
Yes, they will do a TRW on your ass for every single thing in society except for the most important thing. You see, society doesn't suffer if you can't make a payment on an SUV, but society will suffer. How much does it cost for each one of these kids that gets put through the system, that needs probation officers, that's going through juvenile hall, that's in and out of the court system and in and out of trouble? How much for that one kid by the time that kid gets to 25? Millions?
Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, sure.
Quite easily.
And then later in the penal system.
Right. So just for, by the way, speaking of penal system, I got to go drain mine, so we need to take another break. But just for monetary reasons, we should do it. All right, we'll be right back with the Adam Carolla Show. Explain it to you or anyone else.
Daddy,
that's a
blowhard
move. You get it, son?
Yeah.
I mean, daughter? I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's about it for the program. I want to thank Sean Waynes for coming in here. Going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow through Sunday. Also, Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach on March 28th. Frank Shamrock and his knee deputy dog going to be out at the Great Western Forum this Saturday. Ticketmaster.com is where you go if you like to see a little ass kicking in person. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. By the way, guess who the only guy in this room who's nailed Britney Spears is? Moi.